93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Thursday, May 10th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, three American prisoners just freed from North Korea met with President Trump early Thursday morning after landing at Joint Base Andrews in Maryland. The three men were each detained for more than a year. Trump wrote on Twitter yesterday that the men were on their way home with Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and praised North Korea's leader for freeing them. I appreciate Kim Jong-un for doing this, Trump said. This was Pompeo's second trip to North Korea, where he's helping lay the groundwork for a summit between Kim and Trump. Pompeo is only the second sitting Secretary of State to visit North Korea, and he's the highest ranking U.S. official to meet with Kim. U.S. officials made it clear to the North Korean counterparts that releasing the three men was paramount. Kim Dong-chul, a South Korean-born businessman and pastor, spent at least 900 days in custody after his October 2015 arrest on allegations that he was trying to meet with a former North Korean soldier to receive classified information. He also was accused of working with South Korea's spy agency, which denied any involvement. He had been sentenced to 10 years of hard labor in April of 2016.
You have to imagine hard labor in North Korea is pretty damn hard.
Yeah, I would imagine. Kim Hak-song and Tony Kim both worked at the Pyongyang University of Science and Technology. They were arrested in 2017 and charged with hostile acts towards the North Korean state. The three men, after meeting with Trump, were scheduled to travel to Walter Reed for a medical evaluation. Police are searching for a man who they say met a girl on a social media app and then sexually assaulted her. He started a conversation with the girl on the Whisper app within minutes. Police say he was inside the young girl's home in Ardmore sexually assaulting her.
Ooh.
Police are now looking for a man who identified himself as Joe. He's believed to be in his early 20s, 5'7", with blonde or reddish hair. He was wearing Timberland-style boots and a gold chain around his neck. The girl said that he smelled like cigarettes.
Had you ever heard of this Whisper app?
No, I never heard of it.
Yeah,
what is it?
Apparently it's fairly common.
I guess. Police say that it happened in late April. The suspect and the juvenile female engaged in conversation on the Whisper app. The suspect was directed to the girl's home, and investigators say he arrived there within 5 to 10 minutes. She let him in, and that's when she was sexually assaulted, according to authorities. Police believe the suspect could be from the area, or he may have just been driving around the neighborhood while he was communicating with the girl on Whisper. They want parents to know about the app and caution their children about meeting people on social media. A spokesperson for Whisper said the app is rated 17 plus and doesn't reveal users' specific location. They don't encourage meeting up with strangers, and they were not contacted by local police. They say that they contacted the police on Wednesday to offer their help in tracking down the man.
Mm.
Philadelphia police were led on a chase that ended in a rooftop arrest yesterday. The 25-year-old suspect led police in a car chase that began after he rammed an unmarked police car at 9th and Lehigh Streets. The suspect, who was being sought for multiple alleged crimes, including burglaries, theft, stolen auto, as well as aggravated assault on a police officer, somehow managed to escape from police custody back in March. Late Wednesday, as he tried to get away again, he drove over the grass median and into oncoming traffic on Roosevelt Boulevard. He was going the wrong way on the boulevard. The police helicopter and Chopper 6 was out there as well. They continued to follow as they observed the suspect jumping onto the center median of the boulevard, where he lost control of the van that then started doing donuts. He then drove back onto the boulevard, where he was nearly struck by an oncoming vehicle. Finally, he pulled into a parking lot in the 5300 block of 5th Street and began to run, now beginning a foot pursuit.
Kathy, since Chopper 6 is always in the area of these hotbed activities, I think they should have rocket launchers on the side of them, right?
Yeah.
Side of the chopper?
Hellfires.
Yeah. Take out this van.
They can help.
Yeah.
You know what, though? Sometimes the news vans, the choppers do help the police in
locating.
Yeah, locating them. And, you know, because
absolutely.
If they're both up there, if the choppers are both up there, you know, they've got to communicate anyway. And I remember working over at Channel 10, and I was friends with the pilot of that helicopter, and he would communicate with the police.
Cool.
Yeah, if he was up, and, you know, he would certainly help them out. So he jumped onto the roof. This guy jumped onto the roof of the Rice Cake House, where police say they were able to catch him and arrest the guy. Police said that he suffered minor scrapes and bruises in his attempted getaway.
Maybe it's time for Skyhawk WMMR.
We could do that.
Yeah.
Why not? All right, let's do sports this morning.
Ball sacks are yummy.
The Sixers season is now over.
Yeah.
Bummer. They lost to the Celtics 114-112 last night in Boston. Jeez. Jason Tatum scored 25 points, and Terry Rozier added 17, sinking a pair of free throws to make it a four-point game with 9.8 seconds left after forcing a turnover by Joel Embiid. Embiid had a chance to tie it, but he missed the layup and failed to tip the rebound back in. The Celtics will play Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals for the second straight year. Game one is Sunday in Boston, and it's the Celtics' first back-to-back trips to the Conference Finals since making it five straight times in the 80s. Carlos Santana had three hits and five RBIs. Nick Pivetta struck out seven in five scoreless innings, and the Phillies beat the San Francisco Giants 11-3 last night at the ballpark. The Phils improved to 20-11 since a 1-4 start, and will try to sweep the four-game series this afternoon. Vince Velasquez gets the start, and game time is at 1:05. In minor league hockey news, the Lehigh Valley Phantoms beat the Charlotte Checkers for the fifth overtime period by a score of 2-1 and took a 3-1 lead in that series. The five overtimes made it the longest game in the 82 history of the AHL.
Wow.
And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what happened for you.
Alex Lyon had 94 saves in that game.
Oh, my
94.
God.
94. Yeah.
That's three games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's easily three games of stop and pucks.
The game ended 5 hours ago.
Oh, my God.
That's unreal. Wow. All right. Well, they're probably sleeping in.
Yes, probably. I'm guessing.
But morning has broken like the first morning. Don't know the words.
I don't either. I just know that part.
Yeah.
And I know it's a lovely way to start the day. And we do begin with a Thursday, friends. We have a whole hell of a lot going on today's program.
It's a beehive of activity.
There are a lot of things, and there's going to be a lot of giveaways included as well. So we want to make sure that you stay with us as long as you possibly can this morning and don't miss an opportunity to win a whole bunch of things, including $1,000 in cash as we're on the home stretch today and tomorrow. 10 opportunities. That's a lot, but we're running out of time for the MMR birthday bucks. Your next chance will be around 8 a.m. So listen for that very special word that we're going to give you and a very special number to text that word to, and we want you to win $1,000.
Morning has broken like the first morning.
Like the first morning, right?
Okay. Has broken like the first bird.
First bird.
Actually, this is not a really good song to start the day off with. It's pretty deadly
Bean
slow.
Beanstalks never grew before. Ponies never ran before. Hounds never laughed.
Well, can you do your version of that?
Ponies never ran before. Beanstalks never grew. I have verifiable factual information that suggests beanstalks did grow before.
They did, before I met you. It's from the Brady Bunch, in case you don't know that. All right, so there are many guests are going to be joining us this morning. Speaking of music, as we were just giving you some dulcet tones to begin your day, we're going to get a little bit more fun with that later today as Dorothy is stopping by.
Man, she's good.
The band is going to be performing tonight with Greta Van Fleet, and of course they'll be at the MMRBQ May 19th BB&T Pavilion. So Dorothy's going to be here with her band. They are going to perform live in our studio, which
love
is great.
It.
Yep. We also have joining us from American Ninja Warrior, we have hosts on the program, Akbar Baja Biamila and Matt Eisman in the studio today.
Gabaja Biamila. It's what'd so hard. We said Baja, but Gabaja Biamila.
Okay. You can all suck it.
Yeah. Why are you so mad?
Right now, because the name. Well, the name, I'm not going to get it right at all today.
Oh.
And that's all there is to
call him by his first name. I wouldn't take a crack at it.
Yeah. Last time I checked, Baja, B-A-J-A, is pronounced Baja. So I think his family's wrong.
Yeah, but it's
I'm
G-B.
Right. What's that?
It begins G-B-B-A.
No, I know, but B-A-J-A is Baja.
How do you say it, Case?
Okay.
You say it in a sing-songy way.
Gabaja Biamila.
Gabaja Biamila.
I don't want you getting mad at me.
See, right here it says the G is silent.
Yeah.
Gabaja. The
don't
G,
get mad at me.
You're pronouncing Gabaja.
Gabaja Biamila? Gabaja Biamila? Okay, all right.
I don't know. It says the G silent.
G is silent.
Listen.
I don't even know who wrote that.
Preston, how does it make you feel in case
you're
correct?
I hate it. We need more Cat Stevens.
Yeah, we do.
Clearly, it's broken.
Has broken.
Right, anyway.
Learn how to say this guy's name, Baja Gabiba.
Actually, it's Tina Babalina.
Tina Babalina.
That's who. Akbar is now going to be Tina Babalina.
I just call him Akbar.
So anyway, those guys
Those guys
are going to be
Ninja
on the
Warrior.
Show.
Yes, and we're going to have Will Wheaton on the program today to talk Big Bang Theory, which is cool. The 11th season finale is tonight on CBS. And top all that off, Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa is stopping by today. And they're bringing giveaways.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this.
So everybody who comes in, Baja Bia Mia Latina Babalina is going to get a back rub.
Absolutely.
From Hand and Stone
maybe
Massage.
Maybe even Dorothy.
I don't see, you know, maybe he won't be bothered with me butchering his name. But because we're going to give him a massage.
What if he freaks out? What if he starts just like just throwing like stuff
so
around? What? It's so easy.
Anytime you need to say it, just look at Casey and let him say it.
Yeah, I'll say Akbar.
Baja Bia Mia.
There you go. He'll say that. By the way, it's spelled, for those who don't know, G-B-A-J-A-B-I-A-M-I-L-A. That's how you spell his name. G-B-A-J-A-B-I-A-M-I-L-A.
That's a hell of a name.
But once you start saying it, it gets easier. You know, I have a friend whose last name was Paramishwaran.
Paramishwaran?
Yeah.
Paramishwaran?
Yeah.
That's his last name?
Yeah, Ashok Paramishwaran.
Shik?
Ashok.
Oh, Ashok.
Ashok Paramishwaran.
Okay.
And after you say it a couple of times, and...
Yeah, well, and once you get to know somebody,
yeah,
and then you...
All right, so rolls off the tongue.
Jabaja Bia Mia.
Jabaja Bia Mia.
I always thought it was Gabaja Bia Mia, but maybe it's just Baja Bia Mia.
We'll ask him.
Yeah, we're going to have to ask him. Exactly. So,
what's your story?
We will explore those themes and more this morning. So we have a lot going on in the program. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. Stupid question and the entertainment news is what is coming up next. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24-karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
She looks so nice.
Just one of the guys. I think I needed that this morning. All right, we're going to do a stupid question. Going to give away a pair of tickets to Brewfest, and that's coming up May 12th in Mount Hope. And this is a really interesting question. You guys know the peace symbol?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so not the peace sign, which is your two fingers in a V. The peace symbol was inspired by semaphore letters. What letters are they? 215-263-WMMR.
I used to know semaphore.
There's a little story behind it.
Huh.
And if this is indeed the case, it says on this question, because this is a trivia game that that Nick gave me, it says the peace sign was inspired by semaphore letters, two of them. And I don't think it means this. I think it means the actual peace symbol.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
What are they?
Yeah.
Do you think that you know what they are?
But I know in letters? Semaphore, I don't know what letters they translate to because there's yeah. Hmm. Okay. I have it vaguely. I know enough to be stupid.
All right, but not get the answer right.
But not get the answer correct.
All right, 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. What are the two letters? And they have a
That's meaning. Interesting.
They have a significant meaning behind them as well. All right, so I will go through some birthdays. It might be tough to get an answer for this, but I have some birthdays that I'll go through real quick. It's Bono's birthday today.
Oh, Bono!
Yeah.
Wow.
Big one for Bono. He's 58 years old today.
Going to Chuck E. Cheese today. It's going to be great. I'm going to have a pizza party with all my friends. And it'll be wonderful. And then at the end of it, I'm going to get in the money booth. It's going to be
tickets.
Wonderful. Tickets.
They're flying all
it's
over the place.
Great.
You grab them.
And then you can redeem them.
Yeah. Bono, which is... Paul Hewson is his name, correct?
Bono Vox is his full fake name, right?
His full stage name is Bono Vox, which means good voice.
Yes. Which he doesn't think he has, by the way.
No kidding.
He hates his own voice.
Really?
Yeah.
I tell you what, there's a scene from Rattlin' Hum, and I like to go back and watch it from time to time. Actually, there's a lot of Rattlin' Hum that I like. But it's him and The Edge, and they're playing a show, and I forgot what town they're in, but they had hired a gospel choir to sing along with them. And they go to the church to practice with him. And they do. I still haven't found what I'm looking for.
Yo, that's a great scene.
It is absolutely amazing. Both he and the choir singing together. It's magic.
And I absolutely
You
love
folks
that.
Know the greatest American hero. It's my favorite song.
I went to the show last summer, and I don't know if it was where I sat or whatever. I mean, it was a great production, but, like, just I couldn't hear it great. Like, it just didn't
At
sound.
At the Link?
Yeah.
Yeah, same thing here, Kat.
It's so annoying.
I wanted to like that show more than I did, and it's unfortunate because they were playing the Joshua Tree in its entirety, and I was, you know, my best friends came, a couple of my friends came in from out of town, my best friend and another friend of mine. Anyway.
You had multiple friends, but you couldn't tell one of them that they were their best because it would hurt the other one's feelings.
And
you were so stoked for that.
Yeah.
One of my best memories of that is you were sitting right next to my wife and I with your buddies. You got up and you go, oh, they're coming on now. Like you thought that they were about to take the stage, and there was like another 10 or 15 minutes.
Yeah. You know what? In fact, the reason I did that
was something that gave you the cue that the show is about to start, and you got up and got into mode.
Well, it was, I think, one of our guys at Live Nation had told me.
I got the set list.
And it was, I knew I was going to blow everybody's mind by saying it's starting right now.
Oh, really? And it did.
And you just sat down.
I'm an idiot.
The General Royal.
So much. Are you going to go see them at the Wells Fargo Center next month?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. The only show I've ever missed from them since Joshua Tree was the 360 tour. I've seen every other tour since then.
I didn't see that one either.
I went to your that show with your husband.
And that's why I was disappointed that I didn't go to that one.
Yeah, but I don't like the stadium shows. I would much rather be inside. No roof, no rockets.
Yeah, and so it's June 13th at the Wells Fargo Center, and I'd like to go because of that very thing. And then one of the best shows I've ever seen was the show after September 11th in 2001. It was the Elevation Tour.
Yeah.
And Elevation was great.
It was a great tour to begin with, and they did two shows, maybe three shows on that tour in Philly, but one before 9/11 happened and then one after. And I remember they scrolled the names of everybody who had passed away at one point. It just was incredibly emotional.
Nick was at the Zoo TV tour that we did with the huge TV screens and the remote behind us because Steve wants to tell everyone that he saw that at the Meadowlands and really enjoyed it.
Bono is 58 today. Danny Carey, drummer of Tool, celebrates his 57th birthday.
Well, he's a hell of a drummer then.
He's awesome, man.
He'll be here soon. They're doing like that.
That's
George Cat Stevens.
It's the instrumental members of Tool are doing a almost kind of a clinic type thing.
Are they?
Yeah. And it's $500 if you want to go.
I will be going.
Danny's great drummer man. He's 57 today. Then you have Linda Evangelista, the model. Remember, she was featured in. George Michael's, was it?
Right.
Freedom, that was it.
Freedom 90.
Supermodels.
You know, there are some supermodels that I don't think are all that super.
I agree.
And there are other ones that I believe deserve their superness.
Yep, I agree. But she's in that that group. She's 53 today. The great Donovan has his birthday today. They call him Mellow Yellow. What would a conversation between Bono and Donovan be like?
It's great to meet you, Donovan. It's great to meet you, too.
They do that thing where they stand and they pretend that they're a mirror to each other.
What was the... there are a couple really good Donovan songs.
Sunshine Superman.
Sunshine Superman.
Great song.
What was the other one?
Hurdy Gurdy Man?
Yes.
Yep.
But he has a couple really good ballads.
It's a great song, man.
I might as well try and catch the wind. Have you ever heard that song?
What's that?
I don't know if it's the title of the song, but the refrain is, I might as well try and catch the wind.
Okay. Casey, this is a superhero song. Superman
and Green Lantern ain't got nothing on me.
You don't know this song?
No.
You might recognize the chorus when it gets to it. It should be right here.
Nope. You can just sit there thinking on your velvet throne. Yes.
He's 72. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, by the way.
Deserves to be.
Absolutely. I have for your own. Here's the chorus right here.
Cause I made my mind up, you're going to be mine.
Don't know. Great song. So happy birthday to Donovan, and he's 72. What do you got here, Nick?
We're going to Chuck E. Cheese together.
No, it's an interesting fact about him that I didn't know. He influenced the Beatles as well.
Yeah, it says here he taught John Lennon a finger-picking guitar style in 1968 that John employed on Dear Prudence, Julia, Happiness is a Warm Gun, and
I can't get it.
He was with John and the Beatles when they were hanging out with the Maharishi. He was part of that crew that was there.
Yeah, I remember there's footage of him hanging out with them.
For that little summit that they had. So, yeah, he's a legend. He's 72 today, so happy birthday to Donovan. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. This is the wrong thing. Oh, wait. No, here it is. Sorry. The peace sign was inspired by semaphore letters. What were the two letters? 215-263-WMMR. And I will go to Craig for the answer. Hey, Craig.
Morning, guys. Peace, man.
But do me a favor. Tell me what the two letters are.
The letters N and the letter D.
That is correct. N and D.
What? Which are the first two letters of the word peace?
No, actually. Craig, do you know what they stood for?
Nuclear disarmament.
Ah, there you go. Okay.
Yep, hang on a second, Craig. We'll get your info, and we are going to set you up with a pair of tickets to Brewfest, PA's premier craft beer festival, at Mount Hope on May 12th. With more than 50 breweries, food vendors, and live music. Brewfest details and tickets at parenfair.com. I didn't know that that came out of the whole nuclear race.
Stands for nuclear disarmament.
Yep.
And I don't know what is semaphore, real quick.
It is if you've ever seen them with the flags case, where they'll do this and they're.
It's for long distance communication.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, it's a form of sign language of sorts or. What's the word?
Early texting, Preston.
Early texting. That's exactly it. Yeah. All right, so more than 5 months after Matt Lauer was fired from NBC News over sexual misconduct allegations, the network's internal investigation concluded that management was unaware of accusations against the former Today Show anchor. This is according to their representative, their legal representative, said, "We found no evidence indicating that NBC News or Today Show leadership, news HR, or other in positions of authority in the news division received any complaints about Lauer's workplace behavior." Prior to November 27th, 2017.
So management investigated management.
It says all four women who came forward confirmed that they did not tell their direct manager or anyone else in a position of authority about their sexual encounters with lawyers with Lauer. So if they said it, they said that they didn't tell their managers, then, you know, NBC is in the clear. It says current and former members of NBC News and Today Show leadership, as well as News HR, stated that they had never received a complaint about inappropriate workplace behavior by Lauer, and we do not find any contrary evidence.
I wonder if Lauer comes back from this, or if he just retires. He's certainly wealthy enough.
Well, if they need a Lauer, we know one who can fill in.
The hostages were released.
I never really considered that maybe Gary is somehow distantly related to Matt Lauer.
Matt, Gary's on the phone. Oh, for Christ's sake.
Hey, Maddie!
NBC, Universal's general counsel, and two external firms conducted the probe. So
it's like it's like Danny DeVito and Schwarzenegger. They're the twins.
Yeah, they're twins. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Rob Lowe and Cheryl Burkoff have been happily married for 27 years, but Lowe admitted Wednesday that he doesn't like sleeping with her.
Mm.
He was on the Ellen DeGeneres show. He said, "I sleep better on the road because I'm not with my wife." He said, "People, it's the truth. I love her enough to speak the truth." To be fair, his complaints, one of them being that she wakes him up to help on Family Feud clues, seems legit. He says, here's an example. He says, "She wakes me up, honey, quick. Name five foods that are gross." And I'm like, I just want to go to bed.
Yeah.
So
I was reading a survey today that says one in every four couples do not sleep together.
You and I being
absolutely
the same way. We were doing an interview the other day.
Yeah.
And we were talking about the fact that neither one of us sleeps in the same bed with our wives. It's just our sleep schedules are different. Our sleep preferences are totally different.
I don't like the way my wife sleeps. She can have, I need it to be cool in the room. And it's not the way she sleeps.
I'm the same way. Kim Kardashian is slated to receive the first ever Council of Fashion Designers of America Influencer Award. The hallowed halls.
What an honor.
In announcing the honor, the CFDA points to her 200 million followers across her social media channels.
This is who now?
Kim Kardashian.
Kim Kardashian. She's naked most of the time. How's she influencing fashion?
Kim Kardashian approached the altar, stand in the pentagram and declare your allegiance. to the great beast Satan.
The great beast Satan.
When she does...
Thank you for your fashion influence.
Is it the Super Friends?
Yeah.
When she does have clothes on, she does always look good.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. And I guess she... Do you think she has help with that?
Or, not a
or do you
stitch.
Think a lot of it she does herself?
No, all by herself.
Well, I mean, they're calling her a fashion influencer, and maybe it's...
Oh, but yeah, but that doesn't matter. It just means that she
can... yes or no.
Yeah. I mean, it just means that...
Yes, no, no.
It just means that whatever she's posting, people are listening to her, you know? So it doesn't necessarily mean that she's not working with some sort of stylist.
Okay. She can... Yeah, you can't argue with it. She can look spectacular.
So they said that her 200 million followers across her social media challenge, and they state that she was one of the first to monetize her digital platforms and create a two-way dialogue with her followers. She shared her joy on social media with, of course, smiley faces with heart eyes and captioning OMG, OMG, OMG.
The only part
what
of
a wordsmith
that I disagree with is
is
the two-way. She's not talking to him.
I know.
You know?
She might occasionally. It says a two-way conversation. You know, it says a two-way dialogue with her followers.
Oh.
So, Casey, on a rare occasion, maybe she'll respond to somebody. Or, you know, so there you go.
Oh, my God.
Kardashian is set to accept the award at a ceremony on June 4th. Yes?
Look at the picture here.
I mean,
look at the waist. The waist.
She looks great, but
ratio.
It's just annoying. Yeah, the waist to butt ratio. I know. They're all like that.
Crazy.
Amy Schumer showed up unannounced at Caroline's on Broadway in the hopes of running through her planned Saturday Night Live monologue. But Brendan Sagalow was already on the stage, Page Six reports. She basically came in, and this is according to a witness, or I guess a spy, if you want to call him that.
Spies.
She basically came in and went to the manager and asked if she could get up on the stage. The manager said that Brendan had just gotten up. She asked for 10 minutes. And the manager was explaining how he was doing a long set. And apparently she replied, but I'm Amy Schumer.
Oh, wow.
This is according to a source.
According to a source.
When she finally got her way, an audience member told Page Six that the set went well overall. She's going to be hosting on May 12th, so this weekend, as part of her promotion to push I Feel Pretty. So
they yanked the other comedian off the stage, went back.
That's the way it kind of works, right? A big name comes in and they can get up there.
Yes.
When they're on stage, though, that's a different story, though, right?
It depends. Okay. You know, it depends.
And maybe she will be thankful to that person for yielding their time.
Take them on tour, perhaps, with her at some point, or ruin their careers.
That's possible, too. Hey, Andy Cohen was at the Met Gala, and apparently, when asked on what happens live with Andy, the host told all the drunken shenanigans that he said saw, admitting that he himself was stoned during the Met Gala. He said that he was talking about someone else. He said he's another talk show host, and it's not Jimmy Fallon. And he said, I ate a Chiba Chew, which is an edible, a marijuana edible, at dinner. And I'll tell you something, I was feeling no pain. After the Met Ball last night, I was busy drunkenly eating hamburgers at a gay bar, trying not to get ketchup on my borrowed Dolce & Gabbana.
Look at this. He's with Sarah Jessica Parker. What the F is going on there
with
her?
Look at her face. Well, at her face.
The theme was, it was...
horse faces?
No, it was...
you made me fart.
You need help with that?
Oh, I laughed and farted at the same time. Back to you, Preston.
It was the theme was themes on Catholic.
You're right.
Catholicism,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking about her face, I think.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the outfit.
No, yeah.
Look at her. Like, it's just pulled all the way back.
I think that thing that she's wearing on her head is actually like a vice grip pulling.
Well, you know what it is, Steve? If you've ever worn a bike helmet, you know there's a little knob in the back? And that's kind of what that...
Yeah, it's
that,
got
that,
to be.
That hat that she's wearing has one of those knobs, and it just pulls her face back when you tighten it. So anyhow, he had said that when asked who the craziest A-lister was, he said George Clooney looked like he was having a lot of fun. So the Met Gala continues to create some stories.
By the way, the theme was heavenly bodies, fashion, and the Catholic imagination.
Right. Okay.
There you go. All right. Redmond O'Neill of Farrah Fawcett and Ryan O'Neill.
Yeah, very troubled young man.
Well, he was arrested for robbing a convenience store and threatening a clerk with a knife on Tuesday in Santa Monica.
Jesus.
just stays horrible with this guy.
According to the Los Angeles police, the 33-year-old walked into the store armed with a knife, demanded the clerk take out the money from the register.
And then he said, but I'm Amy Schumer.
He fled the store after the clerk handed him an undisclosed amount of money just before 2:30 a.m. before he was arrested nearby with detectives. And they allegedly found a knife on him. So obviously he's a drug addict. And,
yeah. And but look at his
score.
Dad had an issue. Absolutely. You know, sister Tatum O'Neal.
Yeah, that hit. Dad did not set a good example.
Dad, no, horrible example.
Redmond was arrested on a robbery charge and is being held on a $50,000 bail. He was in prison before, wasn't he?
He was, yes, yeah.
And he had a really bad drug problem. He is due in court on Thursday, today, when a judge will determine if he will be granted bail or release.
Preston, I think at one point, Ryan O'Neal punched a few of his teeth out in
his
a brawl.
Son, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
What?
And maybe you saw this, Steve. We've talked about Roman Polanski a little bit in the last few days. He recently shared his thoughts on the Me Too movement in
Hollywood. Is exactly the person who should be addressing.
And he just...
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
A little bit of a disconnect here.
The director has been, of course, in the headlines a great deal lately, recently after getting ousted from the Academy of Motion Picture Arts, Pictures Arts and Sciences. He fled the U.S. in 1978 after being charged with drugging and raping a 13-year-old girl. Now, his lawyers are fighting the expulsion from the Academy and are threatening to sue. In an interview that was conducted before his removal from the Academy, the Oscar winner said that the women who are coming forward with their stories of misconduct are part of a movement that is a form of, quote, collective hysteria and total hypocrisy. He opined that many were taking part in the movement, quote, mostly out of fear, and likened it to North Korea's displays of mourning for leaders. And he claims the displays are, and I quote, so intense you can't stop laughing. So
he thought this would help his case?
Oh, dude, you know, come on. And
you know what? I decline to comment.
You know? Exactly.
I'm probably not the person you want to talk to about this.
Maybe that.
I'm going radio silent.
Right. So I don't think that's going to help him stay in the Academy.
But I'll tell you what. That whole deal about being drummed out of that clearly stung. Everything else that's happened to him is like, all right, you know, so I'll stay over here if I have to.
Yeah, this is his legacy.
But this is a legacy.
Mm-hmm.
His peers have turned their backs on him.
Yep, exactly. So remember the days when the most controversial thing that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West did was expose Taylor Swift on Snapchat? Well, as much as Swift would very much like to be excluded from the Kimye narrative,
Kimye,
she still seems pretty bent out of shape about how things went down. At the opening night of her Reputation tour in Arizona on Tuesday, the singer seemingly called out Kardashian for turning her into the internet's punching bag. She said to the crowd, a couple of years ago, someone called me a snake on social media and it caught on. And then a lot of people called me a lot of names on social media. And I went through some really low times for a while because of it. I went through some times when I didn't know if I was going to get to do this anymore. And I guess the snakes, I wanted to send a message to you guys that if someone uses name calling to bully you on social media, and even if a lot of people jump on board with it, that doesn't have to beat you. It can strengthen you instead.
Is that why she has like a 5-story snake behind her on stage?
She danced alongside a giant snake.
Yeah.
In addition to adorning microphones and costumes with serpentine imagery.
So she's still hurting over this.
Yeah. Yeah, it pissed her off.
She butt hurt. Although she made up with Katy Perry.
She did make up with Katy Perry.
I don't remember this whole snake thing.
Neither do I, but she's had some back and forth with Kanye, and I think that,
it had to do with a song that she was going to be on.
Yes,
and
there was and then he talked about having sex with her in one of the songs.
And it became an emoji thing, Casey, right. So if you wanted to call somebody a bitch on social media, especially Instagram, you would just use the snake emoji?
Yeah, no, what it was is Kanye had used her name or whatever in lyrics, and then he had basically called her to make sure it was okay, misrepresented what the lyrics actually were going to be.
And then wasn't he the one that ran up on stage when she was getting her award?
Initially, when she beat Beyonce for an award, that was
the whole I'm going to let you finish.
By the way, Nick, you know it's now these days, and Preston, I don't know if you're aware, it's Bish.
Bish?
Yeah, Bish.
You can't say bitch. It's Bish.
Wait, seriously? Oh, yeah. For real?
Hey, shut up, you bish.
You bish.
I mean, that's like a nicer way.
For reals.
For reals.
It's bish.
She's a bish.
For reals.
with a Z.
So that's happening.
I'm going to let you finish.
Bish.
You bish.
So this was a post by Caitlin Olson, our friend from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, that said, look who got himself an Instagram account, and that would be her hubby, Rob McElhenney. He was the last of the gang to join Twitter and finally was convinced to join a new social media platform, Instagram, and fans couldn't be happier. And less than 2 hours is a lot more now, but he already had 40,000 followers in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, I no doubt.
And there's a picture that he posted, and it shows a bunch of the co-stars in it, and they're all wearing Eagles gear, and they're in what appears to be a bus, and there's a guy in a Green Man costume. So I'm assuming the gang goes to the Super Bowl. That's a guess as to whether or not that is what that is. So Rob is now on Instagram.
That'd be amazing.
Yeah. And also they're wondering if so apparently Glenn had posted a couple of things as well that might maybe be a teaser that he might be in some of the episodes that they're filming.
I would imagine. Have you checked out AP Bio, which is his show?
Nope.
It's him. It's basically him as his character from It's Always Sunny.
Dennis, yeah?
Yeah, but as a teacher, same sort of sociopathic way, mm-hmm. The same way that the Mick is sort of you know, D,
yeah,
but a little modified, but it works.
Yeah. All right, so Rob is now on Instagram, which is cool. So
very nice.
Good for him. And then one last thing. Javier Bardem and Penelope Cruz have been married since 2010, but they've been acting together for more than 26 years. Their latest project, called Asghar Farhadi's Spanish Thriller, he's the director, Farhadi, is called Everybody Knows. Open at the Cannes Film Festival Tuesday night, and the Lovebirds were there to promote the film.
It is great to work with Farty.
I don't know if I said the guy's name. Did I say Farty?
The phone line is my Penelope says he's a Farty on the phone. I think I'd have to go.
Farhadi.
Oh.
I think is how you pronounce it.
I like Farty.
On Wednesday, the Oscar-winning Cruz opened up about the movie, which she said was the toughest project of her life and her marriage to Bardem. In the film, she plays Laura, whose daughter was kidnapped. Bardem plays her estranged lover, and he helps her try to track down her child.
This kind of sounds like Taken.
For this film, Cruz said she was determined to keep the anguish that she had to embody on set from her personal life. She said, maybe I did that extreme method experiment when I was younger, but we both started acting when we were very young. When I was younger in my 20s, I thought the more I would torture myself and the more I would stay in character for months, the better I would be. But then I realized that the torture is not related to the performance and that I have a life and a job.
I don't know how a lot of the method actors would do that stuff where you know, you're just constantly in character. And, you know, some of the Shakespearean actors would go do the full-blown thing and then the switch gets turned off and they go home and, you know, it's a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
Two different styles.
It doesn't. Yeah, I don't think it makes a whole lot of sense to stay in the character all the time.
But Daniel Day-Lewis said he was basically Lincoln around the clock, at home too.
And that Jim Carrey movie about him and Man on the Moon, I can't imagine working with something like that.
You want to kill him?
Flat out, he was a douchebag.
Yeah,
I watched that as well. He was a douchebag. You know what's funny about that is that the scenes with Jerry Lawler, you know, the wrestler. Jerry pulled him aside at some point. He's like, look, see, you're getting this wrong. So Andy and I were actually friends.
Yeah.
So I know you're playing this part.
Right.
But if you want to really play the part of what it was like, we were friends.
They were good friends.
And he was being a total dick to him the whole time. He's like, that part of it was the acting part of it.
Yeah.
So he got it wrong.
Yeah.
He got it wrong.
In fact, Andy Kaufman had nothing but praise for Jerry Lawler. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of Bardem, Cruz said, I really respect his opinion, especially his is one of the most important opinions in my life.
There are times when he should shut his pile.
You're doing your work in front of this other person who is on screen, not your husband. You feel a little more observed than you would with different co-stars, but you know you're being observed by someone who trusts you as your back. So this is, you know, a couple that are working together and being other people.
Do you think you could work with your wife for long term?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think you should.
Yeah. I think it would be difficult to have to be at home together working together.
Like, all right, listen, I think you can work with your wife if
You're cheating a lot.
No, no, listen. If it's a family business, if it's a family business, that's one thing.
Yes.
But if it's a business business.
Right.
I don't think you can or should work with your spouse.
Yeah.
Well, I've got, okay, so I have two friends. One works, you know, it's a family business, and the other one just works for a business. And they're actually both, well, one is retired now, but I mean, for almost 30 years, worked together, worked for the same business. They weren't, you know, directly working with each other.
That's what I'm talking about. You're like directly with each other.
But they would drive to work together. I mean, they were in the same, you know, room. They just weren't working on the same projects together.
Well, and then here's the other part of it. If one of the spouses, especially the husband, is the boss in this business, I just don't think it works. Because, like, if he's the boss, she's the boss, really. Right. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, like here for a while, my wife, Claire, worked as in promotions here at WMGK. It was in the same building, but we were working separately.
Yeah, different floors.
Yeah.
We're working separately, exactly. All right, anyhow, these two managed to do it, and they like it. All right, let's do the clips. Here we go. The crazy comedy series Mom follows Christy, a newly sober single mother living with her son and difficult mother, Bonnie. Here is Allison Janney talking about what it's been like working on a network TV series.
It's really hard work. It's very fast paced. It feels very, even though we're not improvising, we have to be on our toes, and on show night we get new lines thrown at us, and it's a very exciting way to work. And there is a certain rhythm. You have to, you know, pay attention to the comedy of it all.
Mommy.
Catch the newest episode of Mom tonight at 9, and that is on CBS. Next clip. The critically acclaimed television show Atlanta shows two cousins, Earn and Alfred, as they try to navigate the Atlanta rap scene in an effort to improve their lives and the lives of their families. In this clip, Brian Tyree Henry shares his thoughts on his character, Alfred.
He has a huge heart, you know, and he loves his family and he protects his own. But if you kind of cross him, it's kind of done. I love that. I just love that there's this fire and ice in him that it just makes him two-sided person that we all kind of are.
Yeah!
Atlanta is on the FX tonight at 9 p.m. And that is what I have for you in today's Entertainment Roundup. There's a lot going on today on the program. Last chances to win $1,000 with the one and only Birthday Bucks. That's coming up at 8 o'clock, so we're getting there. Dorothy performing live in our studio this morning. They'll be at the MMRBQ coming up on the 19th and also playing a show tonight with Greta Van Fleet. We will have a couple of the hosts of American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
They're going to be popping in, so we both have we have Akbar and Matt who will be here today. Will Wheaton is going to be on the show. Our friends from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa are coming in, too. And that means some giveaways for you. Mother's Day coming up. It is a great gift for Mother's Day. And we have a screening today of Deadpool 2. I would like to give away five of these passes, pairs of them. Now, it's today at 4:30, so it's a little on the early side. You need to be at the Ritzies by 4 o'clock, so don't call if you can't make it by then. Deadpool 2 doesn't hit theaters until a week from tomorrow, and we've got the screening today. 215-263-WMMR. Call right now. We'll put you on the list, and we'll be right back.
Preston and Steve
on 93.3 WMMR.
Did you guys know that Bigfoot is in the area?
Oh, I've heard.
I saw that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is around Browns Mill, New Jersey. Casey, you were just there.
Hey.
For an MMRBQ ticket raid.
I was there on Friday
did
night.
Did Bigfoot show up?
I did not. Well, I'm trying to think if
I don't know. You sent
people...
me a text about a dude that might have been Bigfoot.
Yeah. what did my text say again?
It's a unique looking individual.
You said a guy with no shirt on.
Yeah.
Well, at first he had a shirt on.
And then he took it off.
But then it came off.
Okay.
Was he particularly hairy? Do you remember?
He was not, and he wasn't that tall either.
Okay.
But he was walking upright.
He had a shirt around his neck. He didn't even put the sleeves. It was an interesting look.
The same kind of difficulty a Sasquatch would have putting on a shirt because of their long simian arms.
Yeah. Is that indicative of Browns Mill? I don't even know where Browns Mill is. I've never been there.
It's just out there. I mean, for me, it was like an hour and a half drive. Yeah. And I don't necessarily think it was indicative of
Browns Mill. If this was a Bigfoot, he was certainly pleasant.
Well, he was. Yeah. He and his son were really, really nice. And, okay. But, It was definitely rurally out there.
Like a Seattle-y feel,
not a Seattle-y feel.
Well, this is on the edge of the Pine Barrens, right?
Yes. So, well, there you go.
Burlco.
It was Dave and his wife, who didn't want to share her name, spotted something they couldn't explain. The woman claimed she saw Bigfoot. She said whatever this was had literally leaped across the entire road. It was about 6 feet tall.
Tristan, it's so much fun to go camping.
Like a light-colored hare, like a deer, but I'm like, it certainly wasn't a deer because it had its legs splayed and it almost looked like a ballerina leaping across the road.
So a hairy ballerina.
A hairy, big ballerina.
Okay.
Maybe, you know, Bigfoot is a little more graceful than we had first been led to believe.
Yeah, why not? Why are we always assuming that it's this big lumbering thing where it probably could do a little bit of jazz tap if asked?
It says here in the story, this was on Fox 29, by the way, it was off-road near Brown's Mills. She said that she saw the man-beast in the rearview mirror. And
go back.
She said that she was always a skeptic, but not anymore. She said, even to this day, I'm still trying to process exactly what it was that I saw. It's just hard for me to fathom it, I guess you could say.
I'm looking for Metro PCS.
She's looking for tickets to the MM Barbecue.
You know, so if it's on the edge of the Pine Barrens, then it would also, perhaps, this creature might be encountering the Jersey Devil.
That's
Preston.
Right.
Well, that's so they went and they spoke to this guy, Eric Spinner, who is the New Jersey representative for the National Bigfoot Field Research Organization.
We have a local chapter.
We do. And he displayed a Bigfoot footprint casting that he said he found in New Jersey. Fox 29 had asked him, do you consider this credible? And he said, I do, for a couple of reasons. Not only is it uncommon for somebody to report seeing it in their rear view mirror.
Yeah, well, of course.
As she did.
You never get rear view sightings. It's always either like a side view or like the mirror in a compact, Kathy. The woman's doing her makeup. That's when they will usually see Sasquatches.
But also, he said, because they weren't out there looking for Bigfoot.
They weren't.
They were just out enjoying a nice day out in the woods. They were with their dog four-wheeling.
They didn't land on Bigfoot. Bigfoot landed on them.
And he said, and then this happened. He said, apparently the pines offer food, water, and wilderness enough to hide in. The same traits as other places with reported sightings. The number of New Jersey sightings might be a surprise. He said, dozens of sightings over the years. There are reports that, he said, come into our website, into our database, that aren't even on our actual sighting database because they're either still being investigated or deemed as being either hoaxes or unreportable.
Well, they have an entire sub-site devoted to rearview mirror sightings.
They call it, I'm sorry, Casey, they call Bigfoot or Sasquatch or whatever in North Jersey, they call it Big Red Eye.
Big Red Eye.
Big Red Eye.
Ooh.
Never heard that before.
Big Brown Eye. Or the Chocolate Starfish.
Yeah, so he leapt over the entire roadway?
That's what she's saying, basically.
Well, a thing that size, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, most Sasquatches would be track stars if given the opportunity.
Well, I wonder if maybe the Bigfoot has an aversion to blacktop. Macadam, if you will.
Okay. That like the same way, perhaps, that Silver, remember, I think, burned Maleficent.
Mm-hmm.
perhaps Sacrete burns the bottom of big feet.
Or, I mean, because they're so heavy and maybe all that weight, maybe just it irritates the bottom of
right.
the feet. Yeah.
I would totally subscribe to that theory.
Those feet are big, but they're sensitive.
Very sensitive.
Well, you'd have to be if you're any kind of. Now, we're assuming that Jersey Big or Red Eye, Big Red Eye?
Big Red Eye.
A Big Red Eye would be a herbivore, right?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what we're led to believe from Harry and the Hendersons.
Right.
You know?
As he did. Fish.
He did eat fish. I'm sorry.
Did he?
He was a pescatarian.
Okay, yeah.
You think omnivore?
I think omnivore. I think it's kind of like a bear's diet. You know, if you'd find a dead squirrel, it'd probably chomp on it.
Good point, actually, because it's not like it's a constant buffet in the Pine Barrens.
Yeah, berries are only in season.
But about the feet, how about giving Bigfoot a petty? That'd be a tall order.
It'd be great. Yeah. He could watch TV while you do it.
Yeah. So they call it Big Red Eye in North Jersey. Some in South Jersey.
You know what they like to watch, Preston? Bonzo Goes to College.
Really?
Yeah.
They said some in South Jersey think they're seeing the Jersey Devil.
The Jersey Devil is an entire... I love this lore, this legend of the Jersey Devil, and so is, you know, the 13th child of this crazy woman. But the Jersey Devil is always depicted as sort of like a winged homunculus, like a creature. Like
yeah,
a,
yeah, exactly.
You know, like less a bear or not a Sasquatch,
not quite humanoid,
right?
Yeah, but
come on, people, get your facts straight.
Hang on a second, I want to go to John. Hi, John, you're on the air. Good morning.
Whoa, am I on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's up? What's up, bud?
How are you guys? All right, so real quick. So me and my best friend go camping all the time down in South Jersey, and we don't like when people camp next to us, because why would you like people camping next to us when, you know, or you, when you're trying to camp yourself?
Exactly.
I hate it. So what we do is we become Bigfoot at like 1 o'clock in the morning. So it was so bad one time. I'm not even kidding. The state police were called. And the lady was driving through the campground because we are seriously at 1 o'clock in the morning just going.
You're making chewy sounds?
Chewbacca sounds.
Screaming as hard as we can. And basically, long story short, the cops came one time and they came over with the spotlight on our tent. And my girlfriend and Brandon, my buddy Brandon, he's like, yo, get down. And I'm like, they can't see us. We're in a tent. Nothing ever happened. But yeah.
To give yourself some breathing room around campsites, you'll try to frighten the other campers by doing a Bigfoot sound.
Yeah, and or screaming.
Yeah. Do they ever leave, John?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've left. I've had the lady with who called 911. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. She's driving like a mom van, and she came over and she's like, "Hey, did you guys hear that?" And we're like, "Hear what?" So it's like, there's no way we didn't hear it. You know what I mean?
I love that.
All right, thanks, John.
Do you think if you were out in the Pine Barrens, which can look fairly ominous when you're driving through them, it's such a dense forest.
Well, it's so dense, and it'd be hard. All the same.
The same, yeah. So the way the Blair Witch Project played off the sameness of a forest and getting lost and retracing your steps, I think the Pine Barren would be a pretty scary place to be at, you know, in the dark at night.
Sure. Are you kidding me? Absolutely, yeah. Man. Without question. And then you throw in Big Red Eye in there.
Big Red Eye there.
But I wonder if that name comes from, like, you know, glowing red eyes.
Like Mothman.
Like
yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Let me go to Lauren. Hi, Lauren. Good morning.
Good morning. You guys back.
Ah, thank you, Lauren. What's up?
Oh, my gosh. So I was about 13 years old, coming back from Wildwood at the Jersey Shore. And it was around January, like, you know, so we're coming home. It's really late. My dad, my brother, and I, and my mom, and this creature with hooves that kind of looks like a dog standing up, I asked you not, just kind of looked back at us and leapt into the wetlands, but it did have those red beady eyes, and it was like this crazy moment that none of us can even, like, conceptualize, and it was nuts. It was real. We all saw it. I'm not effing around.
Okay, so now, to your mind, it's more than likely was just an animal of some sort, not a monster or a creature that, like the Jersey Devil. You don't think it's that, do you?
I don't know. That's the thing. It was kind of so quick and just bizarre, and it did look like a dog, but almost like a moose, too. Like, there might have been antlers.
A deuce.
I don't know.
A moose.
How
a
far
moose.
Away, Lauren, if you were to ballpark the distance between you and this creature, were you?
Oh, my God. Well, it was dark, so it was, like, it wasn't too far in front of the car. I mean, 12 feet.
Well, that's actually fairly close.
And it was dark.
And how big?
Yeah.
We got a good stare at it. I mean, it stood up. It didn't really seem that tall because it was kind of like hunched over a bit. It was like a dog standing up, kind of like a bear.
Okay. You
know? All right. So and dog, bear, moose, red eyes.
And bear, pig. I don't know.
Bear, pig.
Bear, pig. And moose.
Yeah.
And okay. How much had you smoked that day?
Or drank?
No, I was 13 years old.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Well, listen. Sometimes you see people will think they see something, or sure. You see an animal in the dark. For crying out loud, in the dark, if you've ever seen a possum's eyes.
I saw a panther running down the beach.
That's Casey saw a beach panther.
Yeah.
Forgot about your panther.
Yeah. Dune puma.
I was watching some show where they were using footage and capturing mythical beasts on camera and so on and so forth. And, you know, the people pointing out, you know, this is this creature somewhere down in South America or something like that. And then they had experts look at it and they're like, okay, so you see the shape of this? It's the same shape of this type of bird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you're a distance away and your eyes can play tricks with you.
And they also will fill in information that you think you're seeing.
Exactly.
And so, but listen, don't get me wrong. I love this stuff.
I do too.
I think it's fun and fascinating, and the possibility that maybe is fun.
Yeah.
But in the broad scheme, and are there animals out there that we haven't discovered? Yes. But in the Jersey Devil,
giant animal.
I don't think there's any big animals we haven't discovered yet.
Well, I mean, so if you go up to Vermont and Lake Champlain, they have a Loch Ness monster in there. They
Champy, call him
Champ.
Right?
Yeah, Champ. And you know, when I was up there for vacation, the one lady, we were stuffing bears at the Vermont Teddy Bear Factory, and the lady, she's like, "Oh, I saw him."
Yeah.
Really? Like, okay. Yeah.
You know? Well, they also want to feed. Like, we went. My wife and I did Loch Ness in Scotland. And you take the tour.
Of course.
And they sell the sizzle. Why and what not? Really leads to it is the water of Loch Ness is inky black.
Sure. Yeah.
And so it has a weird look to it.
Yep.
And while you're out there on the boat, yeah, I mean, this is kind of cool, you know?
I mean, doesn't this...
It's a plesiosaur.
Doesn't this sound like this woman actually saw a deer jumping across the road in the rearview mirror real quick? And sometimes rearview mirrors, especially if you're riding on a road that might be kind of bumpy, the mirror can kind of shake and obscure. And, and she may have seen this thing, and it looked like legs, but it was actually the deer's body splayed out as it's jumping across the road, I've seen deer do before.
The little print on the rearview says deer may appear to be bear.
Yeah. Deer may appear to be old red eye or big red eye or whatever
big
it is.
Red eye.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, listen, I was driving just the other day, and I saw a plane in the air, in the sky.
Plane in the air?
Yeah, oh, my God.
Why didn't you call the authorities?
But when I first saw it, it looked like it was just facing straight up in the air like a rocket ship.
Right.
And when I looked, I was like, uh-oh, that does not look good. Right? It was just banking, you know? Left or whatever. And my vantage point, it looked a little bit off.
I always do that. I'm like, is that plane going down?
Oh,
am I witnessing this? And then no.
Yes, I just saw like 11 planes go down at the airport.
Yeah, exactly.
I love, you know, some of these videos that you'll see of, you know, this is a UFO.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're looking at it, and I'm like, and with my mindset that this is a UFO, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh, my God, wow, that's pretty convincing video right there. And then I look at a comment below, and it's like, that's a Mylar balloon.
Yeah.
And then I look at it with that perspective, and I'm like, that is a Mylar balloon.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, there's a longstanding legend of large cats, like predatory cats. I'm not talking
in the
domestic,
UK.
In the UK.
Yeah, I've seen like those stories, yeah.
Panther, like your dune puma, Casey.
Mm-hmm.
And people swear up and down, but what they believe a lot of it has to do with is in open fields and like the moors, your perspective is thrown off dramatically because you don't have a point of reference to compare things to in size.
I used to really be fascinated by a lot of stuff like this, Stephen. When we were much younger, shows like In Search Of.
I loved In Search Of.
So great.
Yes.
But now it's a bit too, there's so much of it that I'm bombarded by it.
Sure.
And I just kind of scoff it off.
The History Channel is virtually, on the weekends, is all ancient aliens. That guy Eric Von Daniken, who did Chariots of the Gods years ago. Remember that book was huge?
Yeah, yeah.
He's still on. My wife eats this. She has fun with it. Mm-hmm. She enjoys it. But, I mean, it's fun to pretend, you know.
I agree. I'm going to go next to Patrick. Hi, yep. Patrick. You're on the air, buddy.
This is Preston?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I got through. This is awesome.
You made it.
Very excited.
Yes, I did. Okay. Talking about the big red eye now. I've seen this thing up in North Jersey, man. This thing is serious. It's for real.
All right. So what was your experience?
Well, it was up there by the New York border, And what I'm told is that it only comes around once a month and for a whole week.
Oh, a period. It's a menstrual joke.
He still loves it.
Patrick has had this bottled up in him for the last half hour, and he finally got to get it.
But it's red eye. It's not.
I enjoyed Patrick's enjoyment of that.
And the fact that he laughs like an evil scientist.
Yeah. That was a hell of a laugh.
Who the hell laughs like that?
The build-up and joke itself, not so great. His enjoyment, fantastic.
Yeah.
That was great.
That's fine.
All right. So, anyhow, this couple says they saw Bigfoot, and I don't know.
Oh, with those shows, Steve, I can't stand it when they have that build up, like, oh my God, and I think we found something. And in my mind, I get caught up for a second, and then I go, If they found something, I would have seen
it.
I would have seen it on the news.
There would have been breaking news somewhere. Yes. I was watching something like that. I started watching a series on the Zodiac Killer because I'm fascinated by some serial killer stuff. And I'm like, wait a minute. I watched, you know, an episode and a half. And I'm like, why am I watching this? They haven't found the Zodiac Killer. There's going to be no resolution on this whatsoever.
You would have seen it on the regular news. They would have announced that they discovered.
Although, then I did see a link that had a similar investigation that said that they are this close to DNA evidence that might link it to this guy that they were investigating on this show. So there might be some resolution to it. But, yeah, you're right, Casey. I get sucked into that stuff. And I'm like, wait a second.
The ones that have. That,
would
that,
have heard about that, this if they would have really found out.
Yeah. The ones that are like that will cross over into the mainstream. Remember when they said they had what they believed to be like a frozen caveman carcass?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And that it turned out to be just like a bunch of different parts put together, you know?
Yeah, and you'll hear about like a Yeti. They found Yeti bones. And no,
Yeti bones is Jenny Bones' brother.
That was a goat.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg has that joke where he's like, maybe Bigfoot was just blurry and it wasn't the camera guy's fault. He was just taking pictures.
Which, by the way, that classic footage of Bigfoot, some people swear by that and say it's real. It looks like the fakest outfit I've ever seen.
Well,
I don't see anything that seems real to that.
There were movies on that.
Yeah.
They dissected that footage. They break down the gait of the animal. They showed the deal. And everyone who's of any sort of simian expert or, you know, zoologist or whatever has dissected that and said it's a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
But it's still fun.
I mentioned the flat earthers yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what? I'm a little bit, Bigfoot, I'll give you some latitude on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe.
Yeah.
There might be something out there that we don't know. Even Jane Goodall.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember we had her by here and she said that she hasn't counted out that there might be some type of species out there.
Yes, an anomalous species.
That's very, very stealthy.
Yes, yeah. And blurry.
Yes.
And blurry as well.
It's a big planet with still undiscovered areas.
Yes.
Yeah, especially in the ocean.
Yeah.
Underwater gorillas.
Oh.
Don't you believe for a second think that's not possible.
Yeah. It could be scuba certified. Yep. We have no idea.
Gorillas.
Sea gorillas. I want that so bad.
No.
I mean, they have sea monkeys.
They do. Remember? What do you think they grow up into?
Remember that? Remember we had sea monkeys at Y100?
They were like
shrimp.
Yeah, that's all they are.
But we had our little pet sea monkeys
to see if they.
What?
This was back in media. This is before you joined the show, Kathy.
We need a pet. Not a pet? And I'm not talking about the station dog that Casey wants to get. A fish.
Don't put that on me. That's not me. That was Chuck's idea. I just like the idea.
Well, the MMR had Eddie Van Hamster for a long time. So
yeah,
I don't like hamsters.
But somebody's got to take care of a pet.
Yeah, right.
Something that is sort of self, like a amoeba.
Fish.
Yeah,
yeah.
A fish is fine.
Yeah, we can do fish.
But with the sea monkeys, because what they would show you when you were a kid, you'd see it in the back of the comic books.
Yep.
There would be like a king sea monkey with a hat. They'd be putting on plays.
It was
stuff.
A feudal society.
Oh,
Steve.
My God. Yeah, it was a monarchy. Yeah,
absolutely.
And really all it is just a like shrimp.
Brine shrimp. And the theory was you could train them. And
absolutely.
All
to
stuff,
fetch.
But, all right. Anyway, so keep an eye out if you're in Browns Mill, New Jersey. Somebody thinks they saw Bigfoot roaming around in that area. So just a heads up on that, gang. We have to take a break. I want to stay somewhat on time because we have a few commitments to take care of today. One of them being, of course, MMR's birthday bucks. We have today and tomorrow. And that's it. Five times today, by the way, and tomorrow as well. Your opportunity to win $1,000. That's coming up in a little bit. Dorothy is coming by. She will be performing with her band here in our studio. They're scheduled to be on around 8:20, 8:30, somewhere in that range.
Nice.
And a few other guests are on the program, too. But our friends from Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa are here. And this Mother's Day, of course, you can brighten Mom's Day. You can buy a Mother's Day gift, a Mother's Day spa package at Hand and Stone.
So nice.
You can get a free massage or facial gift card. So I'd like to give you a free massage or facial gift card right now. Let's take call number 19 at 215-263-WMMR, and we will give you the goods. We're going to take a break, come back in a second. I'll set aside some bizarre file stories to share with you and more. Stay with us.
50 years of live music as captured by 93.3 WMMR.
Thank you so much for coming.
Introducing live from the MM Archives.
Welcome to the show.
Weekdays at 1:30. Pierre Robert presents one of our 50 favorite live songs, captured live over the years from the MMR studios or during live broadcast from the Tower, Factory, and Ardmore Music Hall. We'll dig through the intimate fan experiences hosted by MMR from Sigma Sound, Grape Street, the Ripley and Bijou Cafe, and the Main Point.
Everybody ready to rock?
Yes!
So,
we live for the rock.
Live from the MM Archives, daily at 1:30. Encores with Jackson at 5:30 and 9:30 with Jackie Bam Bam. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Hey, thanks, Kath. I'm going to try to juggle two giveaways at the same time.
All right.
Two of them at the same time. We have a screening today of Deadpool 2. It's at 4. You need to be at the Ritz East by 4 o'clock, no later than. So don't even try to call if you're not going to make it. Otherwise, you're just going to be leaving an empty space there, and we don't want that. The movie does not hit theaters until a week from tomorrow. So we have this way in advance, and I got two of them left, and that's it. So let's take two callers at 215-263-WMMR. We will put you on that list. Are there any advance words on this? Have there been any screenings? Or
I've heard very positive stuff.
Rotten Tomatoes score,
but they, you know, they're really good at doing the embargo. So, but the word from people who have seen screenings, like I guess over in Europe, there's been a few, and you can't keep everything from filtering down, but it's really good.
Deadpool 2, I don't see anything on
Rotten Tomatoes.
Rotten Tomatoes yet.
Yeah.
There's, you know, 99% want to see it because they have a want to see it score.
Yeah, it was the same with Infinity Wars. Nothing really appeared until just a couple of days before the movie opened.
All right. So that screening is today, and we'd like to get you on board for that. So the last couple of tickets are being given away now. It is officially 8 o'clock, so we can officially do this.
MMR's birthday bucks. Birthday bucks.
WMMR Philadelphia and ANT Chevy in Sellersville. All set to give away $1,000 right now, but you need to do something. It's a text. It's that simple, and it could be $1,000 for you. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to text this word to a special number I'm going to give you. The word is moon. M-O-O-N. That spells moon. Text.
That's Shining.
Yes, it is. Okay. Thank you.
No.
Tom Cullen.
No, not the Shining.
No, it's The Stand.
The Stand.
Yeah. Standing on The Shining.
All right, so M-O-O-N. Text that word to the number 40772. All right, that's 40772. Text the word moon, M-O-O-N. You have until 15 minutes until after this hour to do it now, so get on it. We want you to win.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Brought to you this morning by French Creek Outfitters in Phoenixville with everything you need for the great outdoors and beyond. All the big name brands, they have them. Visit FrenchCreekOutfitters.com for additional information. French Creek Outfitters, why take a chance with anybody else? I'm going to start with a new medical procedure dubbed the vampire facial.
Yes.
Is gaining popularity after celebrities like Kim Kardashian tried it.
I've heard about this.
I stuck this in the Bizarre File because this is weird. Kathy, you familiar with the vampire facial?
No.
It's available at a place, actually at many places, but for this interview, it was done at the Baltimore Restorative Medicine. Doctors there said more and more people are being bitten by the trend. Hey, hey, hey.
Because vampires bite you, right?
So you use your own blood for more youthful skin.
I'm out.
I know. The doctor on hand said, we simply take someone's own blood, we process it, and then we use it. We use their own platelets and infuse it back into their skin. Doctors and staff said that the procedure isn't dangerous. First, they draw blood from a person's arm.
Out.
Then they put it in a centrifuge. The centrifuge separates the platelet-poor plasma, the platelet-rich plasma, and the Buffy coat.
The Buffy coat?
Yes.
As in vampire?
I don't know.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Once it's all separated, they put a numbing cream on your face, and they begin the micro-needling on your face.
This is wild.
You so know, many lovely things in this.
It sounds so like so much fun. And Preston, this same process, they'll use poop to fill in bald spots.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'm on board.
It's just great.
So they said that the micro-needling is like aerating the lawn. And then we put the fertilizer afterwards. Next, the person's blood is smeared all over his or her face. They said, we are tricking the skin into thinking you have damage.
Yeah, you're tricking the client into paying for this.
And it helps to repair areas that have wrinkles, little fine lines. The blood, by the way, for the procedure is left on for a few hours And then apparently it's over with. So, yeah, but I mean, the people's faces are red with blood.
I see. I'm looking at pictures.
But they actually are they're saying a version of this process might be able to be employed present to cure things like psoriasis or vitiligo, which I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, when they do clinical test on it and show that it's the real deal, you know, a lot of people get on board.
Well, the truth of the matter is they'll design something for one cause and then they'll find it does something else.
That's how Viagra
came about. Yeah,
that happened.
They were looking for an epoxy.
No, they weren't. An elderly man was arrested Monday after he opened fire at another McDonald's customer in front of him at the drive-thru. Police say Johnny E. Douglas, 91 years old, engaged in a verbal dispute with Philip T. Bailey, who was 39, outside the fast food joint. Now, police said that Douglas became infuriated that the service was too slow and vehicles in front of him were not moving forward.
When you're 91, you can complain about slow service.
And that's when he began arguing with Bailey, who is an off-duty McDonald's employee, and he took a shot at him. Bailey then defended himself by throwing a smoothie at the old man.
You old bastard.
No injuries were reported from the incident. Douglas was jailed and charged with criminal reckless as well as pointing a loaded firearm at another individual. And then the other guy that threw the smoothie and was shot out, he was jailed and charged with misdemeanor intimidation and disorderly conduct in the whole thing.
Using a smoothie in an aggressive manner?
Maybe so. A California woman with a phobia of lizards came face to face with her fears when a lizard wandered into her office. Carrie Bernard said she arrived for work at a storage facility Monday morning when a lizard darted through the front door. Security camera.
I'm looking to get a marriage license.
Security camera footage from the business shows Bernard jumping onto the counter, and she said she told the local news, "I felt like it was a dragon in here." She said she tried to avoid the lizard, but was cornered, and she was scared that it would rush her. She said, "I stood there, and then it came back around the counter, and it was looking at me. I did a run and jump onto the counter on my stomach." She said that she tried calling out for help, but there was no one else around. She said, "Nobody was around. The bus drivers are going in and out. My boss wasn't here. The maintenance guy wasn't here. I recorded myself calling out for help," she said. Bernard posted a video on social media pleading for help. You can hear her yelling, "Somebody help me. Somebody come to my office and get the lizard. Please, I'm going to cry. I have sandals on. I have sandals on."
What kind of lizard was it, do they say?
I don't know.
Like just a gecko?
Just a little lizard, man.
Yeah.
I know this is in California, but if you ever go to Florida, they're all over the freaking place.
Everywhere.
No matter where you walk, and they're just little things.
Kind of cute.
They actually want to get away from you more than anything. They're hard to catch. After a while, the lizard left on its own, about 15, 20 minutes or so, and her final comment was, "I don't like lizards." An illegal diamond mine has been discovered operating underneath a prison in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Inmates, prison officers, and local residents in Osio have been working in the mine to extract diamonds, with some prisoners not leaving the prison even after their sentences were finished.
So they're using the free labor, but do they get a piece of the take of the diamond mine, the prisoners?
I think they might keep them themselves.
Yeah.
But the head of the Provincial Division of Justice, Gerard Kambozi, said that they have now ordered the closure of the makeshift mine and said anyone using it will be punished. Kambozi blamed prisoners as the operators of the mine. He said, "There are some prisoners." Yeah, no, this wasn't.
I wonder if it's like a Shawshank thing where the staff was employing.
Nope, these guys are doing
it. They did
it
themselves. Wow.
There are some prisoners who have served their sentences but who refuse to leave this prison facility. They mark up from mine to shop counter for diamond. The markup from mine to shop counter for diamonds is huge. More than 30 people, including a prison guard, were found there the day the Provincial Justice Division raided the site.
That's amazing.
Yeah, so they have shut it down. University of Texas Law's former facilities director, a guy named Jason Shoemaker, was arrested Thursday on 6 charges of tampering with government records. Specifically, Shoemaker is accused of tampering with his timesheets to log full 8-hour days at work while he was apparently regularly gallivanting around Vegas and Cozumel.
He wasn't even there.
He wasn't even there.
Yeah.
Shoemaker managed to pull it off, listen to this, for over a year.
There are even worse stories where they're like people just don't show up for like a decade.
According to an affidavit, a colleague had written to Shoemaker, "Everything okay?" And he wrote, "Yes, on my way to work." In fact, Shoemaker was probably in Las Vegas that day, the document says, citing a flurry of charges to his card that included $44 at a Hooters restaurant and $81 for a professional massage.
Well, how important is his position that no one ever wandered down to his office to ask him a question?
Vegas was only one of the locales Shoemaker allegedly visited while claiming to work. The Virgin Islands, Miami, and Cozumel are also at play in the prosecution's case.
It's a good route.
But this might still just scratch the surface of the trouble there. So he was doing it regularly. All right. And I believe we are going to have
one more. One more.
Okay. A mom was left in hysterics after trying to find garden ideas for a children's party on Amazon and being recommended a giant sex toy instead. Jenny Dobson was looking for a last minute gift for a friend's son when she typed in the words outside toys.
Okay.
But sandwiched between a children's novelty alphabet teaching aid and a toy wheelbarrow set, Jenny found the X-rated 6 inches realistic silicone love wand toy described as big, soft, flexible, and skin friendly.
And kids just love it.
The 36-year-old who had been searching with her brother-in-law, Ryan, said, "We were in hysterics, but quickly had to shut the screen. We were about to go to a children's party with 40 kids, so I was thinking, yeah, I'll order that massive dildo for outdoors." Jenny drew Amazon's attention to the issue, and they quickly removed it. She said, "We got a laugh out of it, but it was a bit awkward."
Yeah, sometimes stuff like that gets through.
Yep, and that is what I have for you in the bizarre file for now, my friends. I would like to give away another Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa gift card.
Ah.
I got a $50 gift card. I'll take caller number 25 at 215-263-WMMR. And we will we'll set you up for Mother's Day, man. You can brighten Mom's Day. Buy a Mother's Day spa package in Hand and Stone. You can get a free massage or facial gift card. Massages and facials start at just $59.95 at over 50 Hand and Stone locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. So call now and we'll do that. And thank you to Kasha for being here. I have to find out which location she is from because I said there's over 50 in our area.
Yes, yeah.
But she's supplying some massages for people this morning. Maybe Dorothy will get a massage.
Why not?
But they're going to be performing live in the studio in just a little bit.
Actually getting a massage right now.
Oh, she is. Excellent. We like our rock stars to be relaxed.
Yes.
Feel comfortable and ready to rock.
Not free.
No. All right, so we're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Don't forget, you've got about 4 minutes left to text in the word moon to 40772. Chance for you to win $1,000 with MMR's birthday bucks. Once again, the word is moon. Text that now to 40772. Good luck to you. We'll be back with Dorothy in a moment. Stay with us.
MMR rocks. Enough said.
All right, thank you very much, Kathy. We are excited to welcome back into our studio a live performance, and we love have live performances. She was here a while back to show us her chops.
Her chops.
And we were very, very
chops
impressed.
Were shown.
And chops have been shown, and they will continue to be shown. But we were really, really impressed, and she's back, and we'll be performing actually a few shows in and around our area. Sold out, by the way, tomorrow night in Sayreville, and then they're playing the Electric Factory on Saturday. That is sold out. MM Barbecue, they're going to be playing on the 19th.
Yeah.
Please welcome Dorothy to our studio.
Yeah.
This morning. Good to see you, Dorothy.
Good to see you guys.
How have you been?
I've been busy.
I know. That's a good thing, right?
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes, well, living the dream. Can't complain.
That's cool. And you guys are currently on tour with Greta Van Fleet.
Oh, yes.
So we've got two young groups together playing all over the place.
We love them.
Can't get enough. Yeah.
It's so great.
It's a bit of a phenomenon as we perceived you, you know, and your story, you know, such a great rock sound that and the pairing seems perfect.
They're like our soulmate band.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
That's great.
Because I know you're a fan of going back. You used to listen to your dad's records, and you know you indoctrinated into great rock bands, and I think everyone says, of course, that's the Led Zeppelin sounding band. But I think that it's a continuation of the sound. It's not a ripoff. Yes. And you are in the style and sound of some of the great rock bands. But it's an extension of the sound. And it's really cool.
Yeah, somebody's got to keep doing it. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
They don't live forever, but the music does.
Yeah, and sometimes it appears bleak for rock, and then you guys come along, and it's like, here we go. Yeah. And the station's celebrating its 50th birthday, you know, and so it's still got a pulse.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Happy birthday.
So yeah, thank you.
You've been working with Linda Perry, and she is your manager,
yes.
Correct? And also produced your latest album.
Mm-hmm.
28 Days in the Valley, by the way.
She is a legend, an absolute legend, songwriter, singer. So what's it like working with her?
It's amazing.
Yeah?
I learned so much. You know, we did everything live with the band, and it was just, you know, it was hard at times. I don't think anyone slept, and we, like, burned through it really fast.
So every track was live?
Yes.
Wow.
That's awesome.
Everybody was together in her studio in the room playing. These guys played on the record and wrote on the songs. And this is Owen Berry, and this is Eli Wolfmeyer.
Morning, yes. Guys.
Woo! Morning, guys.
Owen and Eli. Drummers and bass players always get to sleep in.
I know it. Screw those guys.
You know? They may not get the glory, but damn it, they get the rest.
I'm just going to air horn bunk out. We're up, you have to be up.
Yeah. You talk about Linda Perry, and I was reading an interview with you, and you said that you you guys were working on a song, and you went like across the street to get a cup of coffee. When you came back, she had already put everything together.
Oh yeah, that was Down to the Bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to Whole Foods, and I was like, I'll be right back. It's too early for me.
Yeah,
and I come back, and it was like, we have an idea. I was like, great, cool. So
yeah.
Down to the Bottom happened really fast.
That's cool.
As did this record. It's just very, like, you know, serendipitous.
You're describing the sound is a little bit more, I don't know. How would you describe it? A little more, I don't want to say upbeat, but a little more
flowy.
Lighter.
Feminine. I don't want to make the same record twice.
Yeah.
And I like when artists evolve. I think it's brave. And so I wanted to evolve, and it was time, so...
But it's still right within the Dorothy wheelhouse, so it's not like you're there.
Like, we'll always do stuff within the wheelhouse. Like,
yeah.
We'll have fans that maybe don't listen to the second record, and it's just not their thing, but most of them are like, I really dig this, you know?
Right.
And then what happens is live, when we play a live show, it's very dynamic. We can do After Midnight and get the, you know,
Yeah, exactly, yeah. No, that's cool.
Out and then, like, have just like a psychedelic trip, which we want people to feel good at the end of the day.
Well, you got a nice fan base here in Philadelphia. You've had good experiences, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, there's a song I understand on the album called Philadelphia, but it really doesn't have to do with Philadelphia.
Oh, shoot.
What does that mean? I don't
know. Well, actually.
And here we go.
Okay. I'm just going to not.
What?
It's about a guy from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Right. Nothing happened, though.
Is that guy in this room right now?
No.
Is it Preston?
Preston.
Talk later.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you'd rather not explain?
No, it's fine. Nothing happened. We were just texting and stuff, and he's cute, and, you know.
All right.
We were in the middle of making the album, so everything. There's me eating pizza.
Yeah, we have a picture of Dorothy at Lorenzo's in front of the MMR banner having one of their gigantic slices of pizza.
I missed that. I think I put that coat in the dryer, and it turned into...
Oh,
no.
Are you kidding? Oh, man.
Dude, I've put so many things in dryers that are gone that were part of my wardrobe that I'm very sad about. And I think that coat, rest in peace.
That could be a song material there.
Dryer is the next song.
Yeah. With the dryer.
Put my ex-boyfriend in the dryer. No, but we were just texting. and bless you.
Yeah,
and,
thank you.
And, you know, it made for really good content. Nothing happened, though.
Are you
single?
You obviously have to pull off life experiences, but there's some artists who really just, you know, I mean, I'm not to say you're Taylor Swift, but the Taylor Swift is the model of someone who appears to go through relationships just to generate new material. Yeah, right.
Whatever, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
If he screws you over, you're going in a song.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
She didn't name anybody.
Yeah,
but,
right.
You know, when you're that public, it's like not hard to like connect the dots.
Connect the dots, right.
Yeah, but you know, all right. So you obviously can write about your life experiences, but then you can also write about the idea of life experiences, right? So it might be just sort of an abstract thought. Right?
Yeah, hence Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, I think about the Rolling Stones writing a lot of songs about the working man. Mm-hmm. And when was the last time those guys had to work a 9-to-5 job? You know? But they wrote songs that were true to what the working man was experiencing.
Right.
You know, but they weren't necessarily themselves. Keith Richards
They had a couple of working men come into the studio, tell them about your day.
They asked him what it was like.
Yeah.
All kinds of influences. You never know where they come from.
Yeah.
True. Well,
I was also reading you in personality. You say you are probably most
like Steven Tyler? Do you still believe
Dude,
that?
I love him.
Yeah.
Like, he's my spirit animal. We're both Aries. I feel like I want to channel his energy when I'm on stage. And actually, last night, someone kind of said, you remind me of Steven Tyler, but a woman.
Ah.
And I was well, like, that's thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. What way?
You don't look like him.
No. So he doesn't even look like Steven Tyler anymore. But in attitude and the way he projects,
he's awesome.
He thinks he's, well, and I think we all think, he's kind of like the quintessential rock guy, you know, front man.
He's
and,
on fire.
Yeah.
I don't know where his energy comes from, but I listen to Live in Berlin.
Yeah.
A record all the time on my phone, and the vocals, I mean, he's insane.
It's amazing stuff.
So people, they get an opportunity to talk to you, and they want to give you a compliment, and then they, you know, they have, you know, a few minutes to think about, all right, what is the one thing I'm going to say to Dorothy? And you remind me of Steven Tyler, but a girl.
I take it.
Is that the weirdest? I'm sure you've heard weirder, right?
Actually, someone last night asked me if I was married yet.
Okay. Oh,
and
that's
I said, no, obviously. Yeah. See a ring on my finger?
Yeah, yeah. What woman doesn't love to hear that question? Are you married yet?
Yet. Well, listen. Thank you. Clock's ticking.
I would like to see if we're going to get a couple songs out of you guys. What would you like to do first, Dorothy?
Pretty When You're High.
All right. Ah. Pretty When You're High. Dorothy playing the MMRBQ on the 19th on MMR. Here we go.
Fire burning underneath.
Yeah.
Amazing. Woo. Amazing.
Wow.
Dorothy on 93.3 WMMR, Everything That Rocks. I'm hesitant to bring up other bands when I hear bands performing their original music, but you can't help but pick some influences out.
Oh, yeah.
Are you a Black Crowes fan? Because
no.
Really?
I mean, not fan, but yeah. Didn't really get into them.
Not okay. An influence.
Yeah, because I hear that bluesy, I mean, listen, rock's loaded with blues, and that's where the origins are from, but some people do it with a little more, you know, a little more emotion, a little more real gut and a little traditional feel. And that song definitely has that in it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
One of our favorite interviews, we interviewed Dolly Parton years ago. Oh. And love Dolly Parton. I know you do as well.
Oh, I love her.
And did you start to develop a yodeling skills because of Dolly Parton?
No, that was like when I was six.
Okay, yeah.
No, I actually learned how to sing through country music.
Through country music, yeah.
And
she's phenomenal.
She's my mom.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. She's my mom. I love her so much. Oh, my God. Okay. So, no, literally, like, how cool are our fans, too? I was like, we were in Nashville, and there were these Dolly Parton Saint candles. And they at a coffee shop, and they wouldn't sell them to me. And I'm like, well, then don't put them out, because you're just teasing people.
Yeah. Right.
And I, like, took a picture, and a fan brought me one. It was so sweet.
Oh, that's very cool. Yeah. Have you ever met or gotten the chance to, you know, to be in her proximity? Okay.
Yes,
what was that like?
It was great.
Did your fangirl out?
I was scared. I was shaking. No. No, we talked. You know, we talked about life, and she was very, very kind. And, you know. How much can I say?
Yeah.
Is it out? Yeah. Is it out?
What's this? What?
Is it out? Yeah. I did a song with her.
Oh! Yes!
For a movie. And
oh, that's
so
awesome.
A movie that Jennifer Aniston produced and Linda Perry produced the soundtrack. And get off tour. And I'm exhausted. I don't know what planet I'm on. And the next day I have a session with Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
So no big deal. And I'm like... I think I need a Xanax right now.
Wow.
Like, my pulse.
Yeah.
It was just like, but it was amazing, you know? And then all of a sudden in the studio, we're together and we start singing this song. And she's like, oh, you got a great voice.
Oh, man. Wow.
She's so awesome.
So it's for a movie?
Yeah.
And can you indicate what that is yet?
Yeah.
She's getting a thumbs up from her manager.
Dumplin'.
Here. Dumplin'. Is the movie or
Dumplin'.
The song?
All right, Dumplin'.
Apostrophe.
Jennifer Aniston's behind
Dumplin'. Dumplin'. All right, I think we just got
it. It was
exclusive.
An honor to work with her.
Well, we talk about her all the time because if you look like, and I you know, I know Rolling Stone was very kind to you guys, when you rightfully so, when you came on the scene, the magazine, but in their history of rock and roll, and in her section, the amount of 5-star albums and the amount of songs she's written. And it'd be a shame if people didn't realize
she's incredible.
How amazing she was.
She is incredible.
What's the name of the song?
Two Doors Down.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Two Doors Down. We're laughing and drinking and having a party.
Yes, we did.
Two Doors Down. They're not aware that I'm around.
Yeah, he knows it.
Yeah, I know that song.
You go.
Two Doors Down.
Yeah, that's
oh,
it.
Oh, cool.
It's a great song.
Wow.
Good for you.
Maybe Preston, you could sing on the next
one. Yes, of course.
Two Doors Down. They're laughing and drinking and having a party.
Yeah, Preston, get it, Preston.
Two Doors Down. Not aware that I'm around. I thought you were going to harmonize with me.
No.
That costs money.
I was so off key. Even Dorothy couldn't hold that.
No, wow. I was terrified, but at the same time, very humbled.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
What do you like to compose on, guitar or piano?
You know what? Acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
I'm not as good as these guys.
They're great. Yeah.
I had a piano. I moved. I sold it. But and sometimes I'll just sing and just get, you know, my phone out. And but a lot of the times it's Linda will sit down with me with a guitar. She's obviously got more knowledge about chords and, you know, song structure than I do. And she'll inspire something and boom, we'll have like the verse and right away. It's great.
Have you ever put something on a phone and lost it? Who is it? Was it from Metallica?
No.
Who lost
it? Yeah, it was Kirk Hammett.
Yeah,
Kirk Hammett
lost like an entire album material. Worth of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't put it on your phone. No, what I do is maybe I get the voice memo on my phone and then I'll just like open up GarageBand.
Okay.
And just live vocals and strum the guitar and just lay it down there and send it to her. Or
that's great.
Know. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's get another song from you. What would you like to perform this time?
Well, let's do our single Flawless and see how I do. We got, you know, we had a show in Baltimore last night with Greta and
you're sounding great. All of
you're
doing a great
sleep,
job.
Yeah. 4 hours of sleep. So
you can sleep when you're dead.
This is Dorothy on MMR.
Thank you.
plastic space. Yeah. And you said you'd never go back to an old flame. I bet it's gonna make you sick when everybody hears my pain. Yeah, yeah, oh, ah. Slipping into some kind of feeling. Got me believing, baby, yeah, ah. Coming out of all of this darkness. Oh, you know I'm falling, oh.
Dorothy, 93.3 WMMR. That wasn't too bad.
I listened to that song yesterday.
It was amazing.
I had a loaner car, and it was a convertible, and I listened to that song, which, you know, top down.
Yes.
That song you could actually listen to in any condition, but top down, you know,
not on the steering wheel.
76-degree, beautiful, sunny day. It was awesome.
You should put the picture up of you in the...
put your picture up of me.
This
will rock your
song.
World, though. Oh, you're going to love this.
I had to take a picture just to, you know, I had to seize the
Let's
day.
See it.
It was a loaner car because his car was in for repairs and he doesn't have a convertible. So he was very excited that he had a convertible.
Ooh.
So
look up. Oh, yeah.
Isn't that beautiful?
Ooh.
Took He's topless too.
Yeah.
Nice car.
So I just got a text from my buddy who he and I both, I love female singers. I love them. And we both have a love for the Sundays. So he texted me and wanted me to tell you that you're amazing. And I agree. You sound
thank you. Tell
great.
Him thank
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Brian, she says thank you.
Tell him that he needs to one-up you on that photo.
Yeah. Oh, on that? Okay, nice. 28 Days in the Valley is the name of the album that is out. And a few shows in our area. They're playing at the Starland Ballroom tomorrow night. These shows are sold out.
They're all sold out.
That's sold out. And then Saturday at the Electric Factory.
That's a good problem to have.
That's sold out. The MMRBQ, there's some tickets that remain, and you can get those, and you can see Dorothy coming up on the
19th. We are so excited about that.
Oh, it's so cool. We're so happy you're a part of it. And, and in a way, you were on the show a while ago, and we all kind of a sense of pride about you guys are doing so well. It's so cool to see you flourish.
Well, thank you. I remember, Steve, when they were in last time, we're like, we got to get them for MMRBQ. Yeah. And here we are,
three years later.
And it's finally happening.
Yeah, it's tremendous. Yep.
Well, you've helped so much, and we're so grateful.
Oh, our pleasure.
Well, you guys keep cranking out the great music. We'll have no problem helping you out. So thank you so much for being here this morning. And thank you to Owen and Eli, her musicians
thanks,
in the
guys.
Studio Cheers. This morning. Great to see you. Thank you, Dorothy. Have a great time, all right? Go get some sleep. Dorothy. Wow, just amazing music. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. We got more guests. Don't stray too far.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
This Mother's Day, brighten Mom's Day with a Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa gift card. Visit handandstone.com or one of their over 50 locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, including the Lehigh Valley.
Celebrate all the sweet loves in your life with Stephen's brand new Sweet Love 24 karat gold dip rose for just $59. It's a beautiful lavender rose that reminds your sweet love just how much they mean to you. Don't miss out. Get yours now at IHateStevenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Dave has some new music coming out today.
Really?
Nick was explaining it's actually been around for a while. This album that he's putting out has four different producers on it, Nick?
Yeah, it's something that's been around for about a decade or so, and the song that's coming out later today is called Samurai Cop, which is not a new song for the Dave Matthews Band. They performed it live and on tour and things like that, but it'll be new for us, and I love it. It's a great tune, and it's sort of a classic Dave Matthews Band. So I hope we get a chance to play it later today.
Yeah, we'll find out. I don't know if it'll be us or not, but maybe Pierre will have you run at it. But listen up for that. We have a lot of things going on today. I'm juggling a lot of balls today.
You have many balls.
I've got my hands on lots of balls. But
tons of balls.
Listen, Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa is here. I think our next two guests got a massage while they were out in the green room.
I hope there we go.
Hopefully you will shortly. But I'd like to do a giveaway because obviously they're promoting Mother's Day this weekend, and you can get gift cards at Hand and Stone Massage and Facial Spa. They started just $59.95. That's the services do. Over 50 locations, Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, Lehigh Valley. So stop by one today, but I have a $50 gift card to give away, or I'm sorry, a free massage or facial gift card. And I will take caller number 11 at 215-263-WMMR. And don't forget, if you brighten Mom's Day, you get her a Mother's Day spa package at Hand and Stone. You get a free massage or facial gift card. So I'll give you one of those right now. So caller number 11, we are going to take care of you. All right. So our next guests are ready to spend some time with us. We were watching, Steve, you sent me over a clip this morning of American Ninja Warrior. And who was the gal? Graf?
Yes.
Dear Lord. These athletes are unbelievable.
They are. Yeah. They are.
And these guys are promoting a charity acknowledgement of Red Nose Day, and we're going to talk a little bit about that as well. Please welcome from American Ninja Warrior, we have Matt Eisman here.
Yeah. And give it a shot. Uh-oh. Go for it.
We have Akbar Bajbiamila.
Hey.
Hey.
Thank you. You know what? I'll take it. It was very European.
Okay.
But that was nice with the Nigerian accent. You ready?
Yeah.
It's Bajabiamila.
Bajabiamila.
You just dropped off on the ILA.
By the way, did you notice that he... So I've been listening, and you guys had Dorothy on, and you're like, Dorothy, this woman has chops. She's amazing. Yeah. He introduces us. He's like, the athletes are amazing, but we have Matt and Akbar. They're just here.
They're just here. You guys are athletes as well. I will point that out.
I was getting a massage, and I think I almost passed out there. That was like the level of pain tolerance. It was amazing.
Let me tell you something about this show, because I resisted it for the longest time. Because I'm like, And then there was a marathon. And I got sucked into it. And after a while, you cannot deny the level of physicality required to complete this course. And when you buy into that and you see these people coming up and doing it, and it's pretty much, there's no created story. It is what it is. Either you do it or you don't.
Yeah, that's right.
And so in that way, it's very pure. But watching, Akbar, I believe you've done the course, yes?
Yeah. I'm going to do it this year, May 24th, Red Nose Day. I finally decided to step up to the challenge and take on the course.
I think guys who are bigger, and you're a bigger guy, were you 6'5"?
6'6".
6'6".
Give me that inch.
Right. So... I think it's harder for bigger guys. It's got to be. And you as well, Matt. I think it's just the nature of a lot of the stuff, especially like the spinning wheels where you're grabbing on. You guys obviously have upper body strength, but just the sheer weight.
This is a polite way of Steve calling us fat.
No!
That's really what he's getting at here.
Bigger athletes.
You guys got no shot.
Is he fat-shaming us?
Do you know what I'm saying?
You're absolutely right. Yeah. It's so much of it. And what's cool about it is, again, this guy played in the NFL. Akbar's 6'6", 2. He used to be 260. Now he's 247.
Yeah.
He trimmed down. And no matter how much you work out, you'll never be that guy. But what's cool is, like in Philly, we have a guy, Najee Richardson, who is a gymnast, who's probably around 5'7", 150 pounds. And when you look at him, you wouldn't know what an athlete he is. But Ninja Warrior, what's awesome is we have people from 4 feet 10 to 6 feet 10 coming out. Men, women, old, young, all on the same course.
Who's the biggest you've seen take it on and do it successfully?
Well, I would say myself. But
we had Colton Dunn.
Oh, that's right.
He's 280 pounds.
That's 280 pounds.
I can't even. From Superstore, 280 pounds.
I can't even imagine that.
John Alexis Jr. is probably, and Jody Avila are probably our two biggest ninjas who are have been successful. Those guys are both 6'6".
And Cam Wendley. He's 6'6", 255.
55. And those guys, they really represent for the big guys. But again, you're right. They're not a lot of big guys who represent at that scale.
It's like figure skating.
It is.
You're not going to see a lot of guys our size figure skating either.
But you know, I'll tell you something that I realized in prepping for Red Nails Day, which is going to come on May 24th.
It's a great day.
I realized that I'm not as strong as I thought I was. Here, I'm a guy that was able to bench press 405 pounds.
Yeah.
I could squat a whole bunch. But when I got onto to doing the ninja training, I just realized I could not move my body weight. Mm. But it didn't make sense to me. How can I bench press so much and do all the stuff in the weight room, but I can't even move my own body weight? And that's the point. To your point, Steve, it's difficult.
It's the way you're structured.
Yeah. And not only that, I mean, you're reaching out in different ways. You've got to be so much more dynamic than just strong.
Right.
You're using tiny little muscles inside of your shoulders and stuff that don't get worked out. Right. You know what I mean?
Then we're reaching for a beer at the top of the fridge and pulling something.
Hey, I was scratching my back. The microphones you guys hold are incredibly heavy.
Listen, I was so impressed that Akbar went out on the course because I made a promise to myself. Those who can do, those who can't host. And I need to stick to hosting because it is so hard. But what's fun is this Red Nose Day, it's all about charity. And this is something that now has raised worldwide over $1 billion for children's charities, $300 million in the U.S. And on May 24th, it's going to be us. It's going to be Hollywood Game Night. We're doing a live broadcast from New York, too, with Chris Hardwick and Jane Lynch. You're going to see Akbar run the course. And we had celebrities out there like Derek Huff and Neo from World of Dance.
Yeah.
Neo.
Nikki Bella.
Yes.
Nikki Bella, WWE superstar.
And they're all in charge. I'll tell you the celebrity who blew my mind was Stephen Amell.
Yes.
So this guy, not only, so there's a couple ways to run the course. There's the slow and steady. I'm going to take a pause here. I'm going to do that. And then there are the people that just bump, 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 bump. He was moving at a good clip. The guy aced it. Yeah. I mean, I know he plays Arrow, and you can obviously see him do some stuff.
But that's why he had the most to lose. Because a lot of times we talk to celebs, and like I was talking to Bear Grylls the other day, the survivalist, like, I've got nothing to win here, mate. Because if I do it, they're like, of course, you're Bear Grylls. You drink your own urine. But if I fail, everyone's like, you're a fraud. And that was the thing with Amell for him to go out there. And same with Akbar. He played in the NFL. He talks about it, and he went out there to risk being about it. That's why I salute them.
Yeah, and that's the challenging part, too. I didn't want to lose credibility. You know, here's the host who's always talking about it, but I wanted to be about it. But when you talk about Stephen Amell, what I love about him is the fact that, like Matt was talking about, he put himself out there, but he attacked it like a real-life ninja. Here's a guy that you could tell was a fan of the show, and he couldn't wait to get on. The only person that I'd seen that it moved at that type of speed on the course, because a lot of them you see are very cautious. I don't know. I don't want to hurt myself. I don't know if I'm going to do it. Is Usher. Usher did it on the Ellen show.
Did he?
Ellen set up a big ninja.
He did, and it was like,
What was it? Was it full level, or was it a
it was
hybrid?
It was a hybrid. It was a modified version.
Well, Steve, we don't
version,
point that out.
You know? But I will say, Usher showed a lot of athleticism.
By the way, as we're talking about things, you're pulling up songs, you're pulling up video, your production crew is insane.
How did they pull that up so fast?
We're good. We're doing some fly-by-night operation here.
But when you look at what he did, I mean, this is a guy who had a birthday party and had a Ninja Warrior course set up in his backyard.
Wow.
And couldn't make it. He couldn't make it to his own birthday party because he had a big tour that he had to hop on.
Well, explain, by the way, just mentioning the charity and all the good work it does.
So Red Nose Day is all about for any type of program for disadvantaged children, whether it's finding ways to feed them or to get them clothing or to get them schooling or to get them medical care. And when you think about people in your community, it's amazing how many of them might need just a little bit of a helping hand. And that's why Red Nose Day is so great. You get to have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
And last year we raised over $30 million.
Jesus.
This year we're hoping to do the same. And we've had the privilege of visiting some of the programs. And later today I'm going out to an elementary school right here in Philadelphia that's helped out by Red Nose Day dollars. So this isn't something that just goes to help somewhere else. This is helping not just in America, but in your own state, in your own community. These dollars are going to go make a difference for those children.
And for me, last year we did community service, and my community service was in the neighborhood that I grew up in. And Red Nose Day, they had no idea. They say, hey, this is one of the areas we're serving. And I roll up to the school. I'm like, yo, this is just right around the corner from my house.
That's awesome.
And that was real impact, knowing that I could see exactly where the dollars were going, but also, too, that they're giving them an opportunity.
I grew up in South Central Los Angeles, and, you know, I didn't realize that it was uncommon. I didn't have the access to take my own books home from school.
Wow.
And I thought that was a normal thing because that's just how I grew up. You can't take your book home and so or your books home. And to know that this is now going to be able to give kids those access to a better education, not to mention some of the other things, that's powerful.
Well, your show has also helped, and I was reading an article about a couple of experts talking about how it's influenced kids to get physical and sort of mimic courses like this, and schools will set up things. You talk about, like, you know, to sort of, now obviously not to the level that you guys
are. We're going to reinvent PE.
I
mean,
we're going to reinvent PE. I mean, within right around here, we have Pinnacle Parkour. Jamie Ron has some places in here. Chris Wilcheski has a place in Jersey. But the thing is, that's exactly what we've seen. This is one of the few shows. It's the most family watch show on television, but it's a show that you watch and then get active. And that's why this summer we're going to do for the, we're going to tape for the first time.
You ready?
American Ninja Warrior Junior.
Hey. Ah.
So for 9 to 14, you can come out and do it.
I'm sorry, because if I see a 9-year-old ace that course, I'm going to blow my brains
out. Exactly.
I'm going to die.
Obviously, it's going to be modified for the kids and their size, but I mean, it's going to be full scale for them. And that's going to be pretty cool because what we've seen is that kids have brought the parents into the show and they've been watching, and the parents get sucked in. Then you have this family event and this whole thing. Now you're giving kids an opportunity, and it speaks to the strength of the show and the storytelling that our producers you know, are able to tell. And it's going to be interesting to see how that all kind of works together now that you have a version for the kids.
It's a great thing because to me, it incorporates some of the things I used to love about the show, American Gladiators.
Oh, yeah.
And all these different things. But
we wanted to wear spandex and be called Blade and Laser up in the booth, and they said,
I want it to be Nitro.
Yeah. Nitro.
Yeah, Nitro is pretty badass. Yeah.
Who designs the course will go through modifications?
I design all of them.
You design?
No, I'm joking.
Because it's
different. So what's cool, for people who don't know, it's an obstacle course, and the course is different in every city.
Yeah.
And the competitors don't know what they're going to face, and they don't get to practice on it.
Wow.
So the first time they see it is when they're on the course competing, and we have a group that works year round along with our producers Kent Weed and Anthony Storm, who they may actually be awake right now listening to. That's why I'm giving them a shout out. And they work year round to design obstacles, and again, the challenge is to find something that a 4'10" woman and a 6'7" guy will find equally difficult, and for young and old. And when you see the course, we've got it set up right at the Richmond Power Plant here in Philadelphia. We're taping this weekend here in Philadelphia.
You gotta come check us
and
out.
Talk about support. It's been sold out for a week, and we tape in the middle of the night, and Philadelphia is coming out.
You
guys can boo Santa Claus. You can throw batteries at Michael Irvin, but I love Philly and your crowds.
Well, look, now that the Sixers are out and lost to Boston, that was hard. It gives the fans an outlet. You know,
we threw batteries at J.D. Drew, by the way, not Michael Irvin.
Get your facts straight.
No, you know, I will also say, to answer another question, we've also, the last couple of years, we've opened it up to design challenges to the fans.
Fans
have gone out and designed obstacles as well.
That's pretty cool.
As complex as a lot of those obstacles are, the one that always blew me away that was always so challenging was the, and I forgot what the name of it is, but the rope that you climb at the end, the gigantic.
Yes, stage four. It's just a rope climb.
Yeah. Of all the things they did, two people have ever tried it.
We're heading into season 10, and in our 9 previous seasons, only 2 people have ever even attempted it. Both of them got up it, but it's an 80-foot rope climb, which sounds hard, but you have 30 seconds. Now, I don't know if I could make it from here to the studio door, which is about 20 feet in 30 seconds.
And when you're looking at it, that's 8 stories.
Right.
And you think about it, you've already gone through 3 stages. So you've gone through tens and tens of obstacles, and now all of a sudden
you're depleted.
You're depleted, and you got to climb up that thing.
Rocky Balboa in the 15th round. Like, just get me out there, man.
Those guys have a high threshold. They have a high threshold for
pain. They're showing Isaac Calderon. You guys keep blowing my mind.
This
here
is our first winning American Ninja Warrior champion, Isaac Calderon. We had another guy do it just right before him, Jeff Britton. But to see Isaac Calderon do it faster than Jeff Britton, that was impressive. It was the most impressive night ever. And that was the first time that Matt and I had ever seen stage 4.
And what was cool for us is, you know, I played baseball in college. He obviously played in the NFL, whatever. But, like, to see someone have your moment. But now as announcers, like, to watch that, you felt like Al Michaels watching the Miracle on Ice.
Yeah.
Where you're like, this is a great moment for our, and it's become a sport. American Ninja Warrior now has trained transcended the show. And like you said, there are gyms everywhere. There are competitions that exist outside of us. And it's nice to be a part of that and to have a moment where you go, this is a defining moment for the sport.
And speaking of being a sport, like somebody goes on this and they do well, not only win the competition, but they can get endorsement deals.
Casey Canzaro had one with the Marriott. We've seen Megan
Jesse
Martin
Graff with Under Armour.
Graff with that deal.
Yeah.
That's another. And I sent Preston the video over this morning. So she goes, I mean, that course is extra long. Mm. And then at the end, that last step, it's like you're holding on to handles and you're going up.
Yeah.
And she got like three quarters of the
yes!
way. But what she had done all the way through, I mean, talking about, that's what amazed me, going from event to event to event to obstacle to obstacle to obstacle with really not much of a pause. Yeah. And then if you're saying like on that day, she really hadn't seen some of the variations.
Yeah, you
on
don't.
It,
yeah.
That's also, you've got to be smart. You can't be a dummy and run.
Well, you
that
don't
course.
Have enough time to recover, you know, in between. And that's the part. I mean, the human body just can't recover that fast.
Yeah.
And so a lot of it is the mental part of it, the mental element of being able to recover. And that speaks to the strength of our female competitors, our male competitors. I mean, these guys. They're amazing.
And Jesse Graff has actually, you know, finished second in a group of all men.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she's up there. It's not like the women are just out there. The women are doing as well. Jesse LeBrec. We have Alyssa Beard, who's a teacher right nearby in Massachusetts, a fifth grade teacher who crushes it.
I love watching the women compete.
Because it's improbable. It's incredible.
Yeah, it is incredible. So the event is the
Red Nose Day is May 24th. You'll see Akbar crush the course. We're going to raise money, but for those who are around, we're taping tomorrow night and Saturday night out at the Richmond Power Plant Ninja
Warrior
Season 10.
You gotta come check it out. It's beautiful now.
It is.
It's
awesome.
Beautiful. Right on the water.
It's
too.
Awesome. Yeah.
And how do you get in? I mean, do you have to get tickets or?
Well, here, call my number. 310.
Actually, that was the thing. I feel a little bad saying that because it is sold out. But if you show up, there are lines to wait in because sometimes people don't get in.
Yeah.
And even from a distance, you can still see what's going on.
You can be across the river.
It lights up the night. Honestly, because we saw somebody just sitting in a jet ski cruising around yesterday while we were testing.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a jet ski, if you have a yacht, call us. Actually, I'd like to call it from a yacht.
Yeah, that would be cool.
But just, you can chill out in the water, kind of like in San Francisco.
Pull up.
They sit out and
pull up.
Oh, it'd be a great place to watch.
And you're going to have good weather for it, too.
That's what's nice, because we've had some
Philly
cold
feels
nights.
Like California. Yesterday I walked, I was like, man, this feels like L.A.
You guys here at the right time. Well, listen, it's a great show. You guys are doing a great thing. Red Nose Day is going to be on May 24th. You'll be encouraging people to donate, I assume.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent. Well, listen. Oh, and real quick. There's a story about your name, your last name that Kathy was telling me about. What is that?
Yeah, so the last name, Bajabiamila in Yoruba.
Wait, say it right.
Bajabiamila. It means big man, come save me. And so my great-great-grandfather was a 7-footer in the village in Nigeria. And so he would come out to mediate issues whenever anyone had a problem. They would come out. Bajabiamila means big man, come and save me. And so, hey, that's a
good name to have.
I'm just happy that I made it to 6'6", so I can kind of live up to it.
Yeah, big man.
Yeah, and all my brothers are like 6'2" and above. The shortest one I think is like 6'1".
The hell are you eating over there?
Dodo, Inyon, Amula, Fufu, Egusi soup, goat meat.
All right, I'm switching to goat meat.
Goosey soup.
Wow. All right, hey, guys, you're awesome.
Thanks for being here.
Much.
Appreciate really appreciate it, guys.
Let's hear it for Matt Eisman and Akbar Bajamiamila. We're going to take a break, but not before I give away a case of beer. How about that? I'm going to give away a case of Yards Brawler. Call number 18 at 215-263-WMMR. Make sure you grab them at the New York's tap room at 5th and Spring Garden, or you can grab them at Milfoy South Street on the corner of 4th and South. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
WMMR and A&T Chevy present MMR's Birthday Bucks.
I just won $1,000 from WMMR.
How about that? I just called to congratulate you on winning
$1,000. Thank you very much. I'll take it.
This is your shot to win $1,000 cash. 5 times a day at 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 4 p.m., and 6 p.m. You'll hear that hour's keyword and simply text it to the special contest text number 40772. One random texter wins $1,000. MMR's Birthday Bucks, sponsored by A&T Chevy in Sellersville, the Chevy dealer you can trust. Complete contest rules are available at WMMR.com.
On the show earlier this morning, Dorothy, who is the support act with that group,
Could she be any more phenomenal?
She's awesome. We continued our conversation off air.
She's so sweet, so fine.
Yeah,
but
that song was written
about her,
about Dorothy,
and the guys in the band are great too.
Yeah, she's really nice. She's really gorgeous, and she's really, really talented.
That voice, that is a genetic gift from God, yeah, because she just comes right out.
She has the gift. So, they're going to be playing the MMRBQ. And as I said, their show in Sayersville tomorrow is sold out. Their show coming up on Saturday, The Electric Factory, sold out. You know where you can see them? The MMRBQ. If you don't have tickets yet, you can get those now. The details are at WMMR.com. So make sure that you do that. Toot sweet. Real quick, email. I don't know if this is a shard out or not, but Marissa gave this to me. And this is a follow-up to the event at Dover over the weekend that Casey did. A
lot of fun.
Says, hey, guys, just wanted to say thanks to WMMR, the Preston and Steve Show, for such a great time at Dover Speedway. I was introduced to PNS when you did the April Fool's dropping stuff off of the Billy Penn stunt.
Oh yeah.
A co-worker had called in saying that he caught something. You guys rolled with it. I've been listening ever since. Said, my brother Eric. Yes, our names are really Tim and Eric. We are the original.
Oh, that's great.
We got to meet Steve, Casey, Seamus, and Brent Porsche. I had the privilege of sitting next to Casey and Steve. They were asking me questions about NASCAR, and I was glad I was able to answer them. And I pointed out that Nick, with his beard, looks like NASCAR 2017 Monster Energy Cup Series champion Martin Truex.
Truex Jr.
Truex.
Yeah, he's a Jersey guy, too.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Could you please give it says a special Tom Jones shout out. We don't have time. Do we have time to do Tom Jones shout out? To the original Tim and Eric from Pennsville and Vineland, New Jersey. So all right, hang on, we got to get this set up. And our guest is ready.
Let's see if our guest stays online.
I know. Yeah, this is all right. So this is your Tom Jones shout out. There you go. To the original Tim and Eric, Tom Jones shard out. What?
My guest is impressed by that.
Right, I know. I didn't know he was going to be on hold while we were doing that. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done it.
Bad juxtaposition.
He's ready to go. Big Bang Theory 11th season finale is tonight.
I love the show.
On CBS, and I'm a fan of this guy, and this is so cool. It's the first time we've ever had a chance to talk to him in all these years.
You'd think we would have talked before because we're so such fans of all of his work.
This is Will Wheaton, everybody.
Yeah!
Morning, Will.
Good morning. Hello.
Hello. Sorry we didn't scare you away with that Tom Jones moment there while you were on hold.
You guys, it's really early in California.
Yeah. Right.
It's too early for that.
Okay. Sorry. We completely understand.
Hey, Will, I wanted to tell you that, you know, I the name Gordon has special meaning for me because it's the name of the bass player of my favorite band. It's the name of Alf Gordon Shumway, and also the lead character of my favorite movie of all time, Stand By Me. And so I named my cat Gordon, and I wanted to let you know that.
Do you think you'd be honored by that?
Well, no, because I loved Stand By Me, and I can't believe it's the first time that we're talking to you. Obviously, I know we're talking about Big Bang Theory, but anytime we have somebody that was associated with that film, I have to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
I have to tell you that it is a tremendous honor, one of the great honors of my life, to know that I was involved in the naming of your show.
Yeah. I had a feeling that would impact you.
Thank you. So, it's very early in California, and it's already looking like it's going to be a great day.
Beautiful. It can only go uphill from here. Mm. Hey, I have to tell you that for years, I've been a big fan, as many people, of the Big Bang Theory. And the way your character it's you. A hybrid version of you on the show, but how things have come around from you being the arch nemesis of Sheldon to, in fact, being his friend. And tonight, on tonight's episode, you have a special honor, from what I understand.
Yeah, it's been really fun tracking the evolution of the relationship between, you know, that version of Will Wheaton and Jim Parsons Sheldon. And I was on the show earlier this season, and I knew the wedding was coming up.
Yeah.
And I never do this, but I went over to Steve Holland, the showrunner, and I was just like, I just want you to know that I really want to come to the wedding.
Why shouldn't you? Yeah.
And then when they called to check on my availability to find out if I could do the show, I told my wife, I was like, I feel like I just got like the invitation to the royal wedding. Like this is where I wanted to be.
Well, in a way, for pop culture nerds, they have slavishly gotten everything right. The stuff that they do and what all the characters talk about and the adoration for Star Trek: The Next Generation, for everything you've been involved with. It rings true. So, and the fact that you have incredibly talented ensemble there is great. But from in the beginning, you know, to you appearing on, Fun with Flags, and what was it, the movie, the Serial Apist,
Serial Apist 2, Monkey See, Monkey Kill, some of my finest fake work.
Monkey See, Monkey Kill. You become sort of that part of the cast that's great. So tonight, I know we have a couple of extra additional guest appearances to be Mark Hamill. Who else can we look for on the show?
Kathy Bates and Teller play Amy's parents.
Oh, that's perfect.
Brian Posehn is back as Bert.
Yeah.
Both of Sheldon's entire family from the Young Sheldon series is there.
Excellent.
So Courtney's playing Missy and Jerry O'Connell, who I've known since we did Stand By Me together in 1985, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Plays Georgie. And then, of course, Laurie Metcalf is there as Sheldon's mom.
Do you know what's amazing, Will? Is the fact that the actress they have for the Young Sheldon series is so Laurie Metcalf-ish. I mean, it's an amazing.
Do you know that's Lori? You know that's Laurie Metcalf's daughter.
I had no idea, really. Well, that's how they got it then.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
I am a giant fan of Young Sheldon. I'm absolutely crazy about it. I love that family. I love the kids like they were my own kids. Like, I have not had this. I guess it's because I'm in middle age now that I can be like, I sure do love my story.
I agree. You know what it is?
So excited.
Yeah.
So excited to work with Jerry and Courtney because I'm such a huge fan of Young Sheldon. I was like, I've been watching you since you were little kids.
It feels that way. But they're not. The great thing is that show is not dismissive of any character or any character type. Everyone gets, their respect, and everyone has something to offer, which makes it great. And it's different in tone to the Big Bang Theory, but it's still in that same lineage. I also have to tell you that I think a number of people, Preston, did you listen to the book on tape?
The audio book. Well, I had read Ready Player One 3 times, and in preparation for the film coming out, I wanted to go through it one more time. And I figured I'd do the audio book and give it a shot. And I knew you had narrated it. You did an exemplary job with it. I fell in love with your delivery. You really captured it perfectly. I was holding out hope that you might have a cameo in the film. And listen, I wasn't disappointed. Some people who read the book were a little disappointed with the direction it took. But I was holding out hope. And I know that there is a nod to you in the film. But were you ever approached to be a part of the cast of that movie?
No, I wasn't. It's a little sad for me because I was a huge fan of the book. Ernie Cline, who wrote it, we've been friends since mm-hmm. the like late 90s. I was really grateful and really proud of the work that we did together to bring the audiobook to life. I know that in the world of Steven Spielberg movies, I'm not going to get cast. But there is, you know, there is this great little Easter egg where they put a poster of me in Artemis's basement mm-hmm. as the mayor, you know, reelect me for the mayor of the Oasis.
Yeah.
And that was really fun. It was really fun to do that. It's a really fun little nod to the people who were fans of the audiobook and who, you know, who know that Cory Doctorow and I are mentioned in the text of the book. But I'm not going to lie. I was kind of sad. I was hopeful that I would get to be part of it just because I'm such a huge, huge fan of the work.
Yeah. And, you know, you mentioning it was it odd you reading about, you know, yourself in the narration because you referred to yourself as a geezer. In the narration, I thought maybe you'd throw a little sarcastic twinge in there on that.
You know, I was like, I'm not a geezer. And then my right hip was like,
but did you enjoy the film?
I think it was just fantastic.
Okay.
I think that we tend to get a little hung up on wanting our adaptations to be word for word, beat for beat adaptations of books. And I think that it's important to remember that this is a different interpretation of the material, right?
Like, yeah.
I think a great example is Stanley Kubrick's The Shining is a terrible adaptation of the book and an absolutely sensational movie.
Yeah, no, I agree. In fact, like, for example, the Dead Zone, David Cronenberg says the movie version, Stephen King says the movie version is better than his book version because cinematically they had to make some accommodations that really work.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it is important that we remember that these are different, they're different means of like experiencing the story.
Yeah, yeah.
You're almost taking that story and doing it in a little bit of a different language.
Right. Each has its limitations. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to ask you something and confirm or deny, because this has been a rumor for a long time. Were you in fact cut out of the original cut of The Last Starfighter?
Yeah, my scenes were cut before we even filmed them.
Wow. So it's true.
So there was a scene in the script where Lewis, who's the younger brother, and Lewis's friend, played by an incredibly talented young me, we are camping out. We're camping out in a teepee and a spaceship lands, and we're like, wow, aliens. And the scene was cut. But back in those days, if you were in the movie at all and you were a named character, you still got credit in the film. And they couldn't cut it out. So I had shot some stuff that I was in the background of. Now, a lot of people think that I'm this big kid running around with a football at the beginning of the movie, but I was only 8 years old when we made that.
Okay.
So I'm a little nerdy, you know, 45-pound kid in my cowboy pajamas, wearing my glasses, and I'm credited in the film, and every year I get a check for 25 cents residuals for being in that movie.
Financially, very good for you.
That is an absolute true story.
Ah, that's awesome.
Hey, Will, I have a quick social media question. Do you have any idea why our show might be blocked from following you on Twitter?
I get dogpiled on by a particular kind of unfortunate person on the internet.
Oh.
And I run some browser extensions that will block accounts. So I imagine that your account probably is following somebody who was all up in my business.
Okay. So by degrees of separation, we're associated. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
Because we're fans of yours.
I'll tell you, you're not missing anything. But I will go on to the Twitter and I will make sure that you are whitelisted, just so that your feelings aren't hurt.
Okay. And you also have to promise that if you're in the area at any point, you have to come by and hang with us for a while.
All right, that sounds great.
All right, excellent. Well, listen, man, we know you're busy, and we know it's early in California, and you're still getting up, but tonight at 8 o'clock on CBS is the 11th season finale. We're huge fans, Will. Thanks so much for coming on this morning.
You're very kind. Thanks a lot. Have a great day.
You too. Man. Will Wheaton, everybody. Yeah! He's great. He's fantastic. Man. He is so great, and Casey, I know you led with it, but and a lot of times you don't want to just go down someone's the earlier part of their career.
Right.
But Stand By Me is amazing.
Yeah.
It's amazing. He's amazing in it. They're all four of those guys are amazing.
Yes, the fact that whole collector, the Rob Reiner film, and the whole thing just has a great feel to it. Casey, I got you the anniversary collection.
I've watched it.
Did you get to watch the additional stuff?
But I didn't get to watch any of the additional stuff. Yeah, I just watched the movie itself.
It's amazing.
But that movie for me was, I don't know, it was just an important movie for me. It's, I still am friends with my, those guys that in 1985 that I was friends with, and I'm still friends with them today. And, there were parts,
it captures a moment in time. And that's what really good movies can do for you.
It broke my heart that he wasn't friends with those guys anymore as an adult.
At the end?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I used that. There's a great line in that movie. Where he goes, Teddy and Vern became two guys in the hallway at school, and that was pretty much it. And he uses a line in that says, People come in and out of, friends come in and into your, in and out of your lives like busboys at a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just an example.
It
of,
is.
That's the way it is. You have people that you are so close with at the time, the closest people in your lives.
Yeah.
And they eventually just fade out. And that's the way it is. And that's
why
growing up.
I only make friends with busboys at restaurants.
Smart.
You can always count
I can
them.
Count on them.
But if you you remember the movie Mask with Rocky Dennis, the only part that I cried at that whole movie was when him and his friend got in a huge fight and became not friends anymore. I didn't cry at the end when he...
That is
a
huge
head...
Yeah.
Died.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve, I recommend, I know you haven't read Ready Player One, but the audiobook, it's great.
Maybe I'll take a crack at that.
He does a fantastic job at
Chuck D'Amico is listening to it. He's had a few false starts. He's finding it hard to...
He didn't really like... He doesn't like the audiobook version of it.
I thought
Will Wheaton was fabulous. You listened to it as well,
In a
right?
weekend.
Yeah, it's excellent. All right. Anyhow, let's stop the love on Will Wheaton
Come
and
on!
Get to the Bizarre File. Here we go.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. Our Bizarre File this morning is brought to you by Robbins Diamonds in tax-free Delaware with thousands of rings and self-serve cases and absolutely no sales tax versus the 8% tax in Philly. Robbins Delaware Diamonds. United Airlines has apologized after receiving complaints that one of their flight attendants appeared to be inebriated during a flight on Thursday. Passenger of the flight en route from Denver to North Dakota complained about the employee's behavior in a since-deleted tweet, writing, "Thanks, United, for a terrifying flight. Drunk or stoned stewardess endangered everybody's lives."
You're welcome.
Apparently, they said boarding announcements were, "If your seatbelt isn't tight, you effed up." They said that.
Wow.
On the intercom.
It's funny you should mention this because I think one time I took a flight and the retiring... what do you call them? Flight attendant at that point. She was nasty and cursing.
Really?
And it was like her last day, so she didn't give an F, but it was the most... She wouldn't do it to me because, you know, I look like a serial killer. But for a lot of people, she was just unhinged.
That's a person who's loved their job.
Yet
right?
clearly hated every second of it.
The passenger went to the cockpit during the flight to report the attendant's out-of-control behavior to the pilot, and police were waiting for her when the flight landed in North Dakota.
I gotta go get arrested now.
In a statement from United Airlines, they apologized for the incident and revealed that it has reimbursed all the passengers on the flight, by the way. So everybody...
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'll take a drunken error.
Yeah, any day.
It's a free flight. You kidding me?
A masked knife man stormed into a McDonald's and threatened staff before fleeing with a box of Monopoly stickers. Footage shows the hooded man marching up to the restaurant counter before opening the gate and entering the kitchen area while clutching a blade. He is seen to grab the box containing dozens of promotional Monopoly cards and vouchers.
Psst, come here. Banks are full of money.
From a tray before waving the knife at a cashier who attempts to intervene.
Man, just because you have a box of Monopoly pieces doesn't mean you have a winner in that box.
Still holding the weapon, he ran backwards before turning and fleeing. Police have the footage in an attempt to trace the suspect following the robbery.
Can I bring up something quickly? McDonald's now has the... Their burgers are a little bit different. Did you see that?
They have a new... what they're doing is they're doing made-to-order.
Yes.
They're doing a quarter-pounder made-to-order. And actually, I saw Gabrielle Union was in the commercial I saw.
Yeah.
I may have had...
Stunningly gorgeous.
Have you had?
I may have had it twice in the last week.
Okay. And did you notice a difference?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So not only made-to-order, but apparently the meat is fresh, not frozen.
Okay.
Yeah, so they're doing that, which is cool. So when you order it, that's when they throw it on the grill, so it won't be sitting in a box for a while.
Might have to head over there.
A bison tossed a woman off a trail Tuesday afternoon near Old Faithful, marking the year's first incident between a bison and a visitor at Yellowstone National Park.
It's that woman tossing game that bison often play.
72-year-old Virginia Junk was walking.
No, it can't be.
Virginia Junk. Who?
All right.
Or your parents.
He got all up in your junk.
And why did they name you that? She was walking around a bend in a trail near Old Faithful and didn't see the bison. The bison dropped its head and butted her in the thigh. So it wasn't like she got really hurt bad, but the animal pushed her off the trail. Rangers treated Junk's minor injuries. She was later taken to the hospital. Junk was not given any citation for being too close to the animal. Park regulations require visitors to stay at least 25 yards away from the bison.
Do they have to massage Junk to wake her up?
They may have had to rub Junk a little bit to, you know, get her to come to.
Mouth to Junk respiration?
To get her to come to. visitors are required to stay at least 100 yards from bears and wolves, by the way.
Everyone just took a picture with Junk.
25 yards from bison and 100 yards from bears and wolves. There was one similar incident in 2017. There were five in 2015.
She's lucky, man. She could have been killed.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Absolutely. But it wasn't her fault. It wasn't like she was trying to go up. Some people go up and they will try to actually like lean against the animal and take a picture, and it's insane.
Those people should be shot.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you? It's just a wild bison.
That's all.
It's just a car with horns.
Look at this. This was this next story was eaten by my dogs.
Oh, I love that.
So
they're adorable, though, aren't they?
They're just adorable, those little puppies. All right, I got to show you a picture of our wall. Oh, my God.
They're eating the walls?
They're trying to escape is what they're trying to do. Yeah, they're... all right, anyway, another time. Maybe I'll post that on social media.
But enough of my personal hell.
Yeah, a 42-year-old Pennsylvania man is facing an assault and harassment charge after allegedly beating his mother with a Star Wars lightsaber.
Oh, no.
Police responded...
He's a bad Jedi.
...to a disturbance call at a home, found Joan Vargas being treated by EMS workers. Vargas was bleeding from gashes on her head and wrist. She told the police that her son, Andrew, had hit her repeatedly with what she called a lightsaber. Vargas said she was sitting on a dining room chair when her son began striking her with a saber in the head and on her wrist.
Dude, I am a Dark Lord of the Sith, and I wouldn't even beat up my mother.
Joan could not say why Andrew struck her with the saber. The 6'4", 330-pound Vargas owns many other lightsabers, his mother told investigators.
That's probably why.
When he was...
You're a grown man!
Right, exactly.
You're a grown man and you're blowing all your paycheck on lightsabers!
You're 330 pounds.
You're a mutant!
When he was subsequently...
They told me I shouldn't be near the microwave when I was pregnant, but did I listen? No!
When he was subsequently confronted by cops, Andrew Vargas denied striking his mother and claimed that she was hitting herself and that she has many issues.
You're hitting yourself.
Why are you hitting yourself?
You're hitting yourself.
Andrew...
This is not the mother you're looking for. I don't intend to get a job. I'll never have a woman touch it. I live with my mommy.
Andrew, who lives with his mother, was arrested on assault and harassment charges, and he's being held in lieu of $10,000 bail. That dude needs to go to jail for a while.
Yeah.
All right, and then one more story. Can I do one more story?
Yes.
Let's see. Authorities say two people who made a bet now know how far their car can go into the water and still drive at a Lake Havasu Beach in western Arizona.
That seems like something you want to try.
And the answer is not very far. The sheriff's office says the water disabled the vehicle as it entered the water, causing it to become stuck while it was approximately halfway submerged. Now, during the investigation, it was learned one of the occupants of the vehicle had an active misdemeanor warrant against him and was arrested. He was taken into custody and booked into the jail. The sheriff's personnel arranged for the vehicle to be towed from the lake. And that is what I have for you in the Bizarre File this morning. What should I give away, Casey?
Gimme. I need.
Want to do this?
Yes.
Hand and stone massage and facial spa?
I've got to get out and get a little bit of that.
You do, because they're only here for a little while. And they're encouraging you to get a gift card for mom. And I can give away, by the way, to caller number 17 at 215-263-WMMR, a gift card that is good for a free facial or massage. And don't forget, you need to get your Mother's Day gift card today, and you can brighten Mom's Day if you buy the day spa package for Mother's Day at Hannah Stone Massage Facial Spa, you get a free massage or facial gift card as well.
It's a lot to say.
I know. So let's take those call. Let's take that caller, and we'll give you the prize. Massages and facials start at just $59.95 at over 50 Hand and Stone locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. By the way, Kasha, who is here, is from the Grant Avenue location in Northeast Philly.
You know what?
Yeah.
Get one for yourself.
Yeah, you should.
You deserve it.
Absolutely. We'll take a break. We'll come back in a second. Lesson, question, and more is on the way.
Whether social.
Hey, welcome in.
Or anti-social.
Hey, get out.
Join your MMR pals on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Groovy photos, videos.
news and social commentary. Plus, we find them the perfect place to waste time during the company meetings. Hashtag MMR rocks.
We are at 3 minutes after 10 o'clock. Today, nice temperature-wise, about 80 degrees. We're going to have some afternoon thunderstorms, so to contend with.
A little overcast right now.
Yeah, yeah. But tomorrow is going to be beautiful. There's your day. Sunshine and 76 degrees. And then Saturday, we have some afternoon thunderstorms, warm, high near 90. And then Sunday, we got rain on the way.
I'm all right with the rain, though, man, because this pollen is killing
it's
me.
Bad. Nick, you mentioned the I think it's a little viral video going around of the guy bumping the tree.
Yeah.
And Preston, it looks like the tree has been dipped in flour. That's no how much kidding. Pollen falls out of it.
Yeah, I heard a report last night saying that it's the worst it's been in like 15 years or something like that. And that it's supposed to extend, like the peak of it is this weekend, but the rain should help. So right. That's a positive.
I mean, I don't get this stuff normally. So when I start feeling it in the back of my throat, yeah. You know. Yeah.
My thing is the mold spores. And I guess that has been at a low this year because...
That's what triggers you.
And it usually happens in March. And I went all through March with not feeling a thing. And then for a hot minute last week, I got a little bit of something, and then it went away.
Here, look at this person.
We're watching a video. A guy's got a backhoe, and he bumps into a tree. Wow. And it just looks like somebody, like smoke bombs going off, or a fog machine or something like that. That's crazy. Wow. And Kathy showed me an insane video, which we may have to bring up on the air, with the caterpillars.
Yep.
Did you see that?
Yeah, yeah. It's weird. Yeah. It was on her phone?
Yeah. Yeah. And how they were reacting to sound or something like that?
They've actually done, there's a guy who submitted a video to America's Funniest Home Videos a while ago. He's about how animals react to sound. When the sound plays, they all go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a particular frequency that makes them all vibrate.
Wheel around like that?
Yeah. In synchronized.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was really strange. So that was a friend of hers' video that did that. So it's bizarre. It's end of times.
It is the end of times.
That's where we are.
When caterpillars sing. Uh-huh.
Yeah,
this is what it sounds like when caterpillars cry.
All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a pair of tickets to see William Shatner, the Academy of Music. Coming up on the 17th, and that includes screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Shatner himself. So the question for today is, there was a Bigfoot sighting in New Jersey. What ocean monster have we not yet discovered? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, so we were talking about a Bigfoot sighting in Jersey in the Pine Barrens over the weekend. What ocean monster have we not yet discovered that we talked about this morning? 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you're listening, and we will do the trash while we're waiting for you to call in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Coors Light, the world's most refreshing beer. Mark your calendar for May 25th to join the Preston and Steve Show live from Keenan's in North Wildwood for the official opening of the Jersey Shore. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Kendra Wilkinson saying she's finally taking stock of her life and following her split from Hank Basket. Kendra says she spent far too much time putting herself above all others, when what she really needs to do is realize there are no others.
Yeah.
Hey! R. Kelly is sick of hearing that he's holding women hostage as his sex slaves he urinates on.
All right.
Said Kelly, quote, "It's like no one even acknowledges that I do impressions."
Oh, my God.
Meghan Markle going to great lengths to look her best for her wedding to Prince Harry by dropping 25 pounds.
Whoa.
Markle insists the weight loss was achieved under the strict supervision of a doctor of philosophy.
Yeah.
And that's your Hollywood Track.
All righty. Well, see if you know the answer to this question. There was a Bigfoot sighting in New Jersey, but what ocean monster have we not yet discovered? And our number, 215-263-WMMR. Going to go to Bob. Bob, you are on the air, sir. Good morning.
Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, Bob. So there was Bigfoot sighting, New Jersey. What ocean monster have we not yet discovered?
That would be a sea gorilla.
Yes.
Yes.
Underwater gorillas, you are correct. Hang on just a second, Bob. We are going to take care of you with a pair of tickets to see William Shatner at the Academy of Music on May 17th, including a screening of Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, and a Q&A with Shatner. Tickets and information at Kimmel Center.
Have you been practicing? Because you're getting a lot better on the bells.
I'm good, right?
Yeah.
You're getting pretty good. All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And this morning it is brought to you by the Center for Healing Addiction Treatment Center. Overcoming addiction is hard. Getting into treatment shouldn't be. Meet the different approach to addiction treatment at center4healing.com. Shinedown has released a video documentary on the making of its new album, Attention, Attention. The follow-up to 2015's Threat to Survival is a loose concept album charting the highs and lows of the record's protagonist. Singer Brent Smith explains, I had a really rough spot happen to me after we toured in 2012 for Amaryllis, and I had some emotional and mental issues pop up.
He lost his luggage.
And it just drove him mad.
What?
He said they kind of got the best of me again, but we all had to build each other back up, and this is really a journey of those years.
Journey.
Attention, Attention features the song of the single Devil, which we've been playing, and the band also just shot a video for the song The Human Radio. Billy Joe Armstrong's new band, Longshot, has postponed the remainder of the West Coast leg of its tour. Armstrong posted on Tuesday night, one of our band members is dealing with a very serious family emergency.
Huh.
It's with heavy hearts that we need to announce tonight's show in Santa Ana, and the rest of the West Coast shows will be postponed. We love you, and we will be back. Please send good vibes to each other. Five more shows through May 15th in San Francisco, Seattle, and Bellingham, Washington, along with Vancouver and Portland, are affected by the postponement. As of now, the band is still scheduled to play on the East Coast, and their June 2nd Philadelphia date is not affected by this so far.
Okay.
Alice in Chains, guitarist singer Jerry Cantrell, said in an interview that the band's new single called The One You Know, we played this when we debuted it a couple of days ago, was inspired by David Bowie. He said, it's really aggressive. It's got a super aggro riff. I was thinking kind of Bowie when I was writing it a little bit. So it's got kind of a metal Fame shuffle to it.
Yeah, it has a great riff.
And he said, kind of almost. It's a good aggro riff. And
it's aggro.
And it's got the classic Alice in Chains chorus and a weird kind of trippy middle part. What is
aggro?
What's aggro?
I'm not familiar.
It's not aggressive. It's not
It's agriculture.
Agricultural.
It has a strong farming, sharecropping vibe to it.
Mm. I think being like aggressive, maybe. I don't know.
Aggro.
I'll tell you this. When Dorothy was walking out of the studio, she was asked. She was very excited about the MMRBQ, and she said, who's on the bill again? And Alice in Chains was mentioned. And she went, yes.
Nice.
I guess it's kind of chord progression.
It says aggro chords.
I don't know.
It's aggro.
MMRBQ.
Okay, yeah. Ooh, there's a ticket rate tonight.
Yeah, I want to make sure I hit that.
To be angry or hostile for no reason, but that wouldn't stand to reason. I know a lot of people will use it for that.
Yeah.
I think that's a bunch of crap.
All right. Anyhow.
Aggro.
So I'll get you the details on the ticket rate in just a second. He said, The One You Know is taken from Alice in Chains' upcoming 6 full-length studio album, which is due out later this year. Title has not yet been revealed. He said about the new disc, I wouldn't say that the rest of the record sounds like The One You Know, but that's a good indicator of what the rest of the record kind of feels like. There's a lot of edgy stuff there, a lot of rocking stuff, a lot of weird stuff.
Do you know what it sounds? It sounds, it's an Alice in Chains sound.
Oh, yeah.
Clearly, but it doesn't feel repetitious.
And he said there's some pretty stuff in there, too.
It's pretty.
And lots of aggro. So the MMRBQ ticket raid. Oh, wait, I'm sorry,
it's,
Case.
It's right there.
Oh, right here. Sorry, yep. I have all these bits of information in front of me. The MM Army tonight is going to be at Marty McGee's Irish Pub.
Ooh.
And that's
in Prospect Park.
Time Marty McGee's Irish Pub.
9 to 11 p.m. and there will be tickets every 10 minutes and you can enjoy ice cold Bud Light specials. So make sure you stop by tonight between 9 and 11.
Every 10 minutes means you have a good shot at winning.
Absolutely. And then one last story. Mike McCready of Pearl Jam and Scottish singer-songwriter K.T. Tunstall have teamed up on a cover of late Tom Petty's classic hit, I Won't Back Down. McCready produced the track and also plays guitar on it. An accompanying, more politically charged music video has been assembled from footage submitted by fans of marches and gatherings in support of various causes. McCready and Tunstall chose the track to honor Petty, as well as show their support for all the people of the world, marching, protesting, and standing up for justice and equality. Proceeds from sales of the track are going to go to Pearl Jam's Vitalogy Foundation, which was founded by Pearl Jam in 2006 to aid efforts towards community health, the environment, arts and education, and social change as well.
Those guys are huge Petty fans.
Pearl Jam. The band?
Yeah, yep. Just as a band, they really love them.
Nice. And that is what I have in the B-File. Any chance that they ever met or had a
spent some time with them? Eddie did some songs with Tom over the years, and then they might have actually done I Won't Back Down together. But there was a set that Pearl Jam had at the Gorge in, outside of Seattle in mm-hmm. Washington, and they tried to get Tom Petty to come down and perform for that, but he didn't. But he was staying there at the same time.
They were in the same Cronum League, I know that.
They did play Cronum, yeah.
I didn't know that.
They were in the A-League.
Sport of the future.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, so I want to give away my last gift card from Hannah Stone Massage Facial Spa. I have a free massage or facial from Hannah Stone. And this Mother's Day, you want to brighten Mom's Day, buy a Mother's Day spa package at Hannah Stone. You get a free massage or facial gift card as well. Caller number 22 at 215-263-WMMR. Don't forget, massages and facials start at just $59.95 at over 50 Hannah Stone locations in Delaware, South Jersey, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. So call right now, caller 22.
I want to ask you something.
215-263-WMMR. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I want to ask you something because if you do say yes, then this would serve as a tease. Even if you say no, it would serve as a tease. But do you want to come back on the other side of these commercials with that brand new Dave Matthews song?
Yeah.
Okay, Samurai Cop?
Yeah, I haven't heard it. I'm dying to hear it. So, all right, brand new music from Dave Matthews when we return. Stay with us.
Now, more with Preston and Steve. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
All you people on Susquehanna Road, right near the train tracks. I don't know. I'm stuck in traffic. Can you kindly just off so I can get to work? Actually, why do I want to go to work?
Next message.
What up, what up, what up? Long-time listener from Philly, now living in Vermont. Just wanted to say I love you guys for making my time go by and days manageable. Rock on.
Next message.
Hey, just a tip. Honking doesn't make it okay to go through a red light, you dumb.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line. Call 484-434-1333. MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.